to Interactive Distractions, episode number 119. I'm starting to lose count here. It's like ever since 100, it's been hard to keep track. Anyway, my name is Chris Fricchio, and I am here with Travis Baum.
Yep.
And Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And joining us today for our feature and for the rest of the show is a special guest from PS Nation, and that is Mr. Mark Sanger. How you doing, Mark?
We Nation for life.
Savory hate.
So what's going on, man? How you been?
You know, stuff's going on. Junk.
Stuff and junk?
Yeah, your mom. Right. I don't know.
Okay, on that note,
Chris,
Travis,
that's what
you should
have said, your mom's face. Just saying.
Screw it up again.
I screw everything up. This show is evidence of that.
Oh. Anyway,
Travis, how are you,
man? I'm doing quite well. We survived the apocalypse. And by apocalypse, I mean put a PS3 at the end of it.
Oh.
We all lived through the day of through a day of not having our PlayStation. Oh,
that was ridiculous.
Roughest day of my life. It was tough.
People, you read some of the comments on message boards and stuff. People were legitimately like so pissed off, like someone just like banged their mother.
It was so funny.
Just banged their mother.
Like, go outside and kick a ball for a while. Like, Jesus, it's like 24 hours.
No,
I read the
I went on GameFAQs because whenever something big happens where gamers are kind of up in arms, I always go to the GameFAQs. Fax message boards, because I swear to God, GameFAQs is worse than fucking Gaff.
Oh, right? It's terrible.
Oh, definitely.
It's because they're like 13 years old.
I thought about, there was a couple of things, a couple of posts that I thought about copying and pasting over to read to you guys, because you guys would have gotten a fucking laugh out of it. I mean, it's just amazing some of the things these guys say. But anyway, other than that, just nothing too crazy. We recorded our awesome Mass Effect 2 special last week.
Which is still in the process of being edited at this particular time.
The 7 hours
from
seven
10 hours,
the 7 hour extravaganza.
No shit.
No, we had a good time, wow. Man. It was a. We may or may not have had 2 months to drink. I don't know. I think there was.
I didn't have too much. I had just enough.
Oh no! There was a point where you were like, Jason, I think I may have to crash on your couch for an hour before I go.
There was, because
do
I don't remember that.
Saying that. See. Right. And then other than that, Jason and I just recorded the Heavy Rain audio track for the video review.
Yeah, so hopefully that's going to be up next week sometime.
Yeah, we'll have that out soon. So
awesome.
I should have cued my Jason soundbite.
Jason. what he'll probably do is at the beginning, it's like, "Hello, this is Jason A Striker," and I can see that happening. That would work.
He told me a couple of ideas he has. For that soundbite, and if it comes to fruition, it'll be pretty funny. It'll be pretty
cool.
Funny. So, but that's all for me, man. Just so I guess it's the Canadian's turn.
All right, cool. Jeff,
what'd you call me?
The Canadian.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry. I thought you were insulting me there.
You know, the person that's in the country with the two hockey teams that both won gold.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the women's team. Oh, yeah, I guess they do count. But
they do count.
14 medals, what? Gold medals, I mean. Yeah, this week's been pretty crazy. My gaming time's been cut, like, in half. So I haven't really played much this week. I started that whole P90X thing. I bought into the craze because a couple of people at my work have been doing it, and I've seen, like, huge results on them. So I'm like, I need to get back into shape. So that's been kicking my ass all week. And other than that, Chris and I, well, you join me as well, we did a spoiler episode for Darksiders for EDP.
Yeah.
Which we still have half of that to still record. But other than that, this past week has been, that's pretty much all it's been, man, working that stuff.
Cool.
I get up early every day now, I'm not used to it, kind of sucks.
We're busy bees.
Yeah.
Good deal. Yeah, not much going on over here either, just kind of still doing the same thing I've been doing the past 3 months, you know, just trying to get ready for Liam. That's pretty much it. You know, we're kind of anticipating him to show up any day now. So, should be interesting. So if you randomly have a show or two with Jason on it with no announcement, that'll be why.
Mm-hmm.
let's get right into it. Let's not waste any time. We got four people to talk to and, throw their thoughts in. So this might be a long show. So let's get into it. Mark, what are you playing this week?
I've actually been pretty busy this week, so I haven't had a ton of time for gaming. But I did get the import of Espigaluda 2 for the 360.
I'm hearing a lot of good things about that.
Yeah, it's for those who don't know, it's a shmup, like old school shoot 'em up, where you're the tiny little spaceship fighting hordes and hordes of enemy spaceships. Except in this case, you're this tranny fairy thing that shoots tanks and other things. It's a fantastic shmup. I've got the import of the first one on PS2. And it's actually one of my favorite shmups and one of my favorite ones by Cave, who is one of the few companies that still releases these things in the arcades in Japan. And this is the last one they're making region-free for Xbox in Japan, so it was pricey, but I had to get it.
Is it more of like a bullet hell type thing like Ikaruga?
Oh, it's total bullet hell. Like, Ikaruga is nothing compared to this.
For real?
Wow.
For real.
That's...
boo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd be able to deal with that.
Well, the one thing that makes this one more accessible is that the gimmick to this one, you have like a bullet time thing where you slow down, like you collect gems as you play, and then you're like you go into the slowdown mode, and your gems count down, and then once they're gone, like you can exit and enter it whenever you want. But if you're in it when the gems run out, like all of a sudden everything goes into hyperdrive, and like the enemy bullets get faster and meaner. Like great game though, I'm loving it. Probably will never come to the U.S., so if you want it, you're going to have to import it and pay quite a hefty import price tag.
Yeah, it's pretty pricey from what I understand, like $80 or something like that?
Yeah, I think I paid like $75 plus shipping.
Wow.
Yeah, did you beat Ikaruga?
Not cheap. No, I'm actually not a fan of Ikaruga. Oh. I don't like it very much. I think it's a cool concept, but I'm one of the people who's in like it's more puzzle game than shmup. Camp.
Yeah, I can see that.
I really like Treasure's Radiant Silver Gun better.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good game.
I'm just convinced that no one has seen past level 2 in Ikaruga. No one on face the planet.
I think I've credit fed past that part, but that's about it. Other than that, though, I've been playing a lot of Wii to get ready for this episode, and because, well, I've been reconnecting with the Wii lately. And what else? Oh, I got that Last Rebellion on PS3.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It's better than White Knight Chronicles. Actually, it's not.
Hard to do.
Yeah. and various iPhone games. Sorry, Chris.
Nah, that's okay. I know somebody will buy my used. It's just that you have to play it 35 hours for it to be any fun. It's
yeah.
That sounds
reasonable. That doesn't sound like fun. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, dude,
well, there's the one other
35
game.
35 hours in, it takes off. Just wait.
Yeah. Yeah, the good part's coming. You just gotta stick with it.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
You can totally have sex with this hot chick, but first you got to take a pounding from this horse. Go nuts.
Totally.
Oh God. I did forget. I got Sonic and Sega Super Pals Racing for PS3.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
dude, I'm thinking of getting the Sonic one. I'm thinking of getting that. I thought the demo was really fun.
It's badass. I really, really like it.
It's been getting some pretty good reviews. I was impressed. I mean, for a kart racer, it's getting relatively high marks.
Yeah. I have no I have a few complaints, but most
frame rate. They didn't fix it, did they?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's not super horrible in single player, but in like split screen multiplayer it gets bad.
How's the online for it?
I've only done it a couple times. The options in the online are they're not really bare bones, but they're not like up to modern standards. It works, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely gonna pick it up when it drops in price, I think.
Yeah, it's already like $50. It like
is it really?
Wasn't the full price, yeah.
Oh wow.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But that about does it for me, I think.
Cool. All right. Travis, how are you? What are you playing?
I'm playing God of War. I'm just getting as much through God of War 1 because I haven't played it in so long. I can probably get away with not playing God of War 2. I mean, I did play it before.
Blasphemy.
No. I did play it before, but I mean, like, I'm just trying to catch up and refresh my mind until 3 comes out in a couple of weeks. So I'm just getting through that, and a little more heavy.
Are you playing the collection?
Yeah, the God of War collection, yeah.
Okay. Dude, you have to play 2, man. 2 looks awesome.
Looks pretty freaking badass. I definitely want to see it, yeah, I definitely want to see it, but I'm playing more Heavy Rain. I got almost through. I'm like right at the tail end of my second playthrough. I decided to play on the hardest difficulty, and I'm really enjoying it more on the hardest difficulty because the scenes that are more tense are just that more intense because you're having just more button presses and everything. Shut your mouth! No.
Wait, so there's more quick time events when it gets on hard?
No, it's not just more. It's just that you have to do more within the...
You have to do a handstand and then hit like...
with your nose.
You have to slap the square button with your penis or something.
During the nude scene.
While she's taking a shower, break out your penis and hit square.
It was funny. After we recorded the video review, Jason and I were talking more about, you know, spoilers and everything, and we were talking about things we liked about the game, and we had both said that it's got to be the best boobs in any video game. Like, really, really.
Yeah,
nice,
I spoiled nice myself red. And just checked them out. I looked on the internet and saw the scenes.
Yeah,
there's some nice video boobage, that is for sure.
Yeah, so doing more Heavy Rain. I'll probably revisit that in about, you know, 3 or 4 months or whenever there's another. If we ever get some sort of a drought. For at least a couple of weeks, I'll jump back into it.
Summer, know, it'll happen. Revisit.
Yeah, revisit.
It's gonna happen summer.
I picked up Mag.
Really?
I picked up Mag because I was like, you know what? Being a Zipper fan, I wanted to pick it up. I snagged it and went through the training mission at first, which is completely offline. I did the training mission and the PSN kicked out.
And you were totally surprised.
And so by the time, like, you know, day and a half later, it finally came back online. Battlefield Bad Company 2 had came out, and I was like, well, I might as well go to Blockbuster, swap out Brutal Legend, which it did end up sucking once you got to the real-time strategy. It's a shame because that game went to fun, hit a brick wall, and dig itself into the ground. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Totally agree.
I brought that back, got Bad Company 2, and man, you know what? That game, I played only multiplayer, and the game is not put together as well as Modern Warfare. It doesn't quite look as good as Modern Warfare 2, but I'm having way more fun the last couple of days playing Bad Company 2 than I have months playing Modern Warfare.
I'm gonna ask you a question then. I'm kind of on the fence between Battlefield, Bad Company 2, and Mag. Which one would you recommend over the other?
I can't tell you that because I've only played the training.
Oh, and Mag, okay.
Yeah, I can tell you I like the way Bad Company 2 handles more. I like the way it handles more. The weapons and the way you move. Well, the weapons have more weight, and the way you move is more realistic. When you jump, the camera has a little more of like a shake to it because, like, you know, you're in the heat of battle, you're moving around, and the camera kind of, you know, lets you know that. It's just more realistic the way you move and everything. The best thing I love about it, you know, when you're playing Modern Warfare 2, it's a great, great, competitive multiplayer experience, and so is Bad Company 2. But one of the best things about it, and what draws me to games like SOCOM, you know, I really love my SOCOM games, is the emphasis on teamwork. All right, but
yeah, that's yeah.
Bad Company 2 really, really emphasizes on working together as a team. Today, I was playing in a squad with 00 Recon, and here's one of the this is one of the best things about it. You have a normal game like your Halos, your Modern Warfares, and what they're going to do is give you team deathmatch, like 6-on-6, or let's just say for this game's purpose, 8-on-8. All right, but it's different with Bad Company 2. Instead of 8-on-8, red versus blue, or whatever other example you want. With this game, it's 4-on-4-on-4-on-4. So you have 4 teams of 4 going against each other, and you have to work within your small group. And of course, when if someone's still on the map, you can respawn back on your person, or you can respawn back on a checkpoint. So when you respawn on a person, if everybody dies except for one, they can all respawn back on the guy that's left alive, and you still stay with your squad and your group. And the whole time, you have to focus on your teamwork and where you want to go. And, you know, watch my back, I'm going to do this. And, of course, you have your perks, your special moves, like dropping ammo, dropping health kits to help your guys out and everything. And you can change those, your classes on the fly. So you can, you know, okay, I'm going to be a assault, you be a technician. So if we get a car, you can keep on fixing it. And you be a medic and you be a sniper, and everybody can work together that way. It's really, really great. And I haven't played a game, and I've never played a Battlefield game, period. Even like on the PCs and everything. but this was a great experience, and I'm having a hell of a time with it, especially with the guys at VG Evo, playing on a squad with them. I mean, you know these VG Evo guys, man, they can play some games.
Oh, yeah.
They can play some games. Yeah. A lot of these guys are really,
they play
really
them
sharp.
And are actually good at them.
Exactly. Because I'll tell you, I can play Modern Warfare or Bad Company 2 against random scrubs, and I'll own. I struggle against these VG Evo guys, man. They are tough. But when they're on your team, man, they work together good. So if you're on VG Evo, PlayStation 3 or 360, man, get this game, play with some VG Evo. You're gonna have a good time. I really enjoyed myself, and hopefully I keep on enjoying myself. But that's all I've been playing, man. So moving on.
Cool, man. Cool. Jeff.
Yeah, I've been playing much. I, like Travis, playing some God of War 2 to get ready for the epicness that will be 3.
Oh, can't wait.
In a week or so. It's going to be fun. Bioshock 2, still plugging away at it. I was telling Travis, the same thing with 2 was kind of happening with me that happened with 1. I kind of hit a brick wall where I seem to like those games a lot for about 5 hours, and then I'm just like, meh. And it's, I don't know, because I never feel like I'm, like, whenever I face, like, a big daddy or a bunch of enemies, it's like, I never feel like I'm leveling up my guns right, and I'm just not doing things right, because I always get my ass kicked.
Right.
And it's like the big guys just seem like big bullet sponges, and I'm like, I just don't want to do this anymore. But Travis, as well as a couple others, convinced me that the part where I literally said I think I might be done with this, they said, no, that's when the game actually gets really good, so.
Yeah.
Still been plugging away at it. More Plants vs. Zombies for the iPhone. The game is awesome.
Nice. I got that too.
It's so good. It's so addicting. That's definitely by far the most amount of time I put into an iPhone game. I play it every single day on the way to work and back. It's good times.
Nice.
That's pretty much it. But I do want to mention something, and this is where I know we just talked about Battlefield, and Chris and Mark probably already had one nap because of that, but you can have like another quick short nap. But I want to comment with Travis on the Halo Reach multiplayer trailer that they released. Because I think I watched that about 15 times.
Oh my, I watched it a lot too, man. It looks really good.
Yeah, that looks like the Halo game I've been waiting for since 2.
What's so different about it?
Oh, a lot.
Whoa, goddamn. For one, the graphic engine for one just looks way better. There's now, there's like kind of like perks, like loadouts, kind of like in Call of Duty. So it's not really doing anything original per se, but it's finally catching up to the times of first-person shooters. Mm-hmm. So you can pick loadouts, there's jetpacks, the elites can roll, you can run, you can like sprint, there's assassinations, which is pretty cool.
And it's great when you sneak up behind somebody and do the assassination, it actually jumps back to third person, and you get to watch yourself do the assassination. It's pretty badass.
Nice.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's pretty cool. It looks like they can't really, it's hard to tell. There's a bunch of new game modes, like there's one called Invasion, which of course this is a trailer, didn't really show anything, but it looks really cool. It just shows a bunch of Spartans against a bunch of elites. So I'm not sure if that's going to be kind of like a co-op mode, or if it's going to be like, IGN did like a deconstructing of the trailer, and their theory, of course, is just, it's not written in stone, it's not announced and official, but they think it could be kind of like a horde-type mode or something like that. But what it is there's the Spartan team, and then there's the Elite team,
the Covenant team.
Yeah, which constantly respawn in, so it's kind of like so you kill them, but then they just keep respawning and coming in, like, waves and stuff with, like, AI. But when you think about it, it's like, well, isn't that just, like, a deathmatch anyway? But I don't know. But, yeah, they added a bunch of cool new modes in there, like actual objective-based multiplayer stuff, so it's not just, like, territories. They show, like, this thing where you have to destroy it, and I don't know, just looks, it overall the game just looks really good. It looks faster paced. It's just, yeah.
And when I was
impressed.
When the beta comes out in May, that should be around the time where Megatron and I are coming up for our little Canadian excursion.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do a little split screen too.
Sweet up. But yeah, nice. I had to mention there's other stuff I want to mention about it too, but I can't remember right now.
It just looks good. Like May when this beta's out,
it looks really
this
good.
Is we're going to be talking about this for a couple of weeks, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Can a beta?
I'm interested to hear what they have like in the way of co-op modes.
Yeah, they haven't really talked too much about that stuff. It's basically all been.
They've
got to
have four player co-op.
The campaign does have 4-player co-op. They've already announced
they've
that.
They've got to have it.
But yeah, I'm home with some good stuff. It looks cool. Looks awesome. But yeah, other than that, watching that a bunch of times, that's all I've really been playing.
Cool.
This week.
Yeah. All right.
Chris?
All right, so I'm 100% addicted to White Knight Chronicles right now because the online is so much fun. You know, I know that Mark is sitting in the background like, oh, God.
No, I agree.
The online Halo, was... now White Knight? Yeah. Jesus.
The
I
honestly, I thought...
Online and White Knight was good. I liked it.
Yeah, honestly, I even thought that the actual story mode got a little better towards the end, only because it opened up, like, this over-branching story arc that didn't have to do with the cheesy-ass cliche story that you were actually involved in. But, yeah, so I've been playing a lot of that, just, you know, grinding along. It's getting a lot of fun, and just the amount of skills and different combos you can do is just making it really interesting for me. Two new things that I started playing this week, both on PSP. First one I'm going to mention is Lunar, Silver Star Harmony.
Yep.
And, man,
talk to me,
Travis,
man.
I want you to help me remember, because I do not remember this, because... I've played
it was like 88 when it came out.
Well, it was pretty, you know. The Sega CD one came out in like the early 90s, and you know, the PS1 one came out later than that. And I remember starting that game, and as soon as you start, you know, you take Alex's spot, and you take his role, and you go and find Luna, and that's how the game starts. That's not how this one starts. This one actually starts with like this background story of Dragon Master Dine and Galleon.
Really?
And yes, and how they were a party that were working to protect Althina. And, you know, really cool little scene. Horrible fucking voice acting. Holy crap.
But
it's absolutely bad.
That's the scene where they had as a flashback on the original version from like the PS2 and everything.
No, this is playable.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
that was actually one of the most emotional scenes for me, because you find out Galleon and Dine's past, but you play that in the very beginning.
Yeah,
that's
you actually play that in the very beginning, and it's pretty cool the way they work it out. But you know, they introduce you to Dragon Master Dine and his three companions, and you're facing I don't know what the character's name is that you're facing. But you know, he's trying to take Althina's power, and it's just kind of cool the way they throw you into that that scene, and you kind of get a little bit of background on who Dragon Master Dine is, because you hear about him the entire game. And,
yeah, see, I don't like that, because what was a big part about Lunar?
You know, liked
back,
the illusion.
Back when we played it, the illusion. Dine was more of this. What's the word?
Like a legend.
He was a presence. He's definitely a legend, but he's a presence. He's nothing but a presence, and to start the game, like, because in the original version, you're at Dine's grave, and Alex is talking to Dine at his grave.
That's
and it's
where
like,
you start.
Oh, man, this Dine guy, man, like, he must be a great hero, because this guy Alex worships him, and you hear about him all, and you meet his old companions, and they talk about Dragon Master Dine, what a great person he was, you know, and yeah, that's actually, I think it takes away from the. You know, the character.
Well, I can see where you say that, but I liked it. So
it was interesting. I think it's cool, yeah. But
especially considering this is going to be my third time playing this game through. You know, I actually, it was kind of cool to see that scene, because I knew the characters and I knew who they were and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was pretty neat. But, God, worst fucking voice acting ever.
I was going to ask you, how was Galleon?
Well, Galleon's voice wasn't that bad, but, you know, you play Dragon Master Dine at the very beginning, and he sounds like a dumbass. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that I didn't like about that little playable scene, is because you have a voice for Dragon Master Dine, and he really sounds dumb. And it just kind of takes away from the brilliance of what that character is supposed to be. And, voice acting's really bad, but I expected it to be.
Right.
You know, it's made by, it's not made, you know, Working Designs didn't do the localization, and even with Working Designs doing it, the dialogue was sometimes bleh, but at least the overall quality was there, you know, back in the day, and in a time where voice acting is all over the place, and quality voice actors are doing shit like this, it's just bad. I mean, it's not like, I'm trying to think of, it's not like Resident Evil 1 bad, but it's pretty bad.
One of the things that Working Designs did with like the complete, like Silver Star story complete, was they relocalized, but even though it was already in English, it's like they relocalized it and added, like, at the time, modern pop culture references throughout it. Like, there were, like, it was odd. Like, some characters that have, like, Austin Powers references.
Right, and they did that with all their games, actually.
Yeah, okay, now, did they keep Working Designs' old localization? Because in the demo, it was pretty much word for word, almost.
I haven't gotten that far to actually to actually notice that.
I'm curious.
Victor Ireland actually
go back and play the PS1 or the Sega CD one.
Victor Ireland made a comment on NeoGAF in one of the threads. I don't actually remember if it was the Lunar thread, but I thought he said a chunk of it was really similar because, like, when they translated it, they, you know, translated it fairly directly and just added their own flavor to it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it comes off very similar.
Okay.
But I think they actually did relocalize it for this new one.
Yeah, yeah, I think I would guess they would because you know, the some of those, I mean, even with the pop culture references, they would have to be changed for this time anyway. But
right.
Yeah.
Austin overall, Powers is still cool.
What's that?
Austin Powers is still cool.
Austin Powers
no,
is still
isn't.
Cool. but yeah, it's good though, and I honestly the it's just amazing to me how much better it looks as far as like the sprites go and everything. So worth it if you are into that series or into old school JRPGs.
Love it.
The other game I've been playing is something that I was like, I've been wanting to get it for a while, and it's a Half Minute Hero.
I forgot to mention that. I've been playing that this week too. Shit,
so good, dude! It is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And which, it was not at all what I expected. You know, it's like when you they keep telling you that you only have 30 seconds to save the world and all this shit. And it's like, well, what the hell?
Yeah,
and it's like you have these quests, and they're all little bite-sized quests, and you can complete them in anywhere between 30 seconds and a minute. And, you know, you can go back and, like, pray to the statue of the goddess of time and get your time back, and then...
She's a greedy bitch.
She is. She wants all kinds of money.
It's pretty funny, some of the dialogue.
And that's the thing. It's like the dialogue is ridiculously cheesy, and it's doing it specifically to make fun of itself. God. And I love that shit.
I love that game. That was one of my favorite PSP games last year.
It's so good, man.
Did you start with the hero one?
Yeah.
To the RPG?
Yeah. I started with the normal story mode, and I'm only, like, 4 missions into it, but man, it's so cool. Just such a great idea.
It is cool. It's perfect for, like, commuting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or waiting in line for anything.
Everything is just bite-sized chunks, so it's really cool that way. I like it. But yeah, that's about it. And, you know, I don't really have much more to say about those two games because I just got them later this week, so...
Cool.
The one thing I wanted to do this week that I haven't had time to do is I know they just released a new Silver Sun pickup song on Rock Band, and I meant to download it, and I forgot. Damn it. But, yeah, that's it. So, Jeff, I'm going to pass it back to you. Let's do some news and get a move on.
All right, cool. Well, Rock Band, that's something that's in the news this week, so...
I purposely made that transition.
Nice. I can grab that. You throw that up there. I'll slam it down. So the Rock Band Network went live today.
Yes.
For those who don't know, Travis, why don't you explain it to them?
It's pretty much a system to where people who are not, they could be famous or they could be indie bands. They could go to a company and say, hey, I'm interested in being on Rock Band. And these companies will... pretty much put their song, they'll code it to Rock Band. Harmonix gave these companies the tools to program these songs into there, so they have the band fully acts it out like it's a normal song that came on the disc for Rock Band, full band set, so you can use every instrument, and then every difficulty setting has its own version of the notes. It's the full version, and anybody can come. Now, of course, these bands have to pay these companies to do that, it's pretty much any band can get any of their songs on there now.
That's
and
pretty cool.
They released 100 tracks already, and there's
which is really freaking cool. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys do you guys try it out at all? Is there some kind of rating system? Because I mean,
well, I have the PS3 version. It only came out for 360, right? So
yeah,
oh, that's right. Okay,
I have it. I'll check it out later tonight.
Because you're if you're a band looking to like, hey, we can. get our music out there, but if it's something like the
App
Store,
there's a price.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the price is. I was looking online when they were first mentioning these companies that are working for the Rock Band Network, and they were saying the price can go from either $400 to over like $1,100-$1,200, depending on who you go with. But I'm sure there's a certain amount of quality that'll go into whether or not you decide to pay a little bit or a little bit extra.
Well, if they're paying that, I hope there's a user rating available, or else people are just gonna get lost in the shuffle there.
Right. Well, I mean, big name bands can put their stuff out there too. Because I think I read that like Smashing Pumpkins, who suck, but I heard that they're putting their stuff out there too. So.
Stroke 9 has a couple of songs on there.
Oh, see, that's cool. That's
remember from the first Guitar Hero, there was that little hidden song you could unlock by the Slip, Even Rats. I'm not sure if you're too familiar with that song, but that was one of the best songs, and it was a hidden song on the game. And cool. They released that, so that's a little throwback to the humble beginnings of Guitar Hero, which
that's
I'm excited.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, if you don't have the money to throw your songs up on Rock Band Network, you might be able to purchase Super Street Fighter 4 instead.
Game of the Year.
That was priced this week officially. I mean, it released at the price that everyone thought it was going to be, and that's $40. At retail, so $40 you're getting. There's people already.
Thank
I don't
God.
Know if you guys have been paying attention. Are people already shitting on $40?
Why?
Like, I really don't
I
get
don't know.
This.
This
I
is,
mean, it's okay. It's such a good price.
It's an awesome price. No matter whether you if you didn't buy Street Fighter 4, this is like the deal of the decade. Basically,
oh, yeah.
Next to the orange box, like it's ridiculous what you're getting $40. If you did buy Street Fighter 4, you trade it in, whatever, and get some credit for it, and then. You get 10 new characters, which is more than a lot of fighters that released, like, in the last 10 years have on their roster.
Right.
Plus new backgrounds for those characters. And then you get people who have Street Fighter 4. There's a little thing they haven't announced yet. Some kind of, like, special little thing they're going to give everybody. Some special, like, download or there's going to be something in the game that unlocks if you have a save game from Street Fighter 4.
It's probably going to be, like, outfits or something
yeah,
like
costumes.
That.
Yeah, costumes. That's what I was thinking,
that, but then the press release said it's going to be something that people who have 4 can play with and mess around with, so I don't think it's going to be something that's like a visual thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But either way, $40, that's fine with me. That's basically guaranteed I'm going to buy it on 360 and PS3 for that price. So.
I'm probably
I'm sure
buying
at least three of you guys
copies.
Three copies.
Two, well, he's my wife wants one for her PS3, so that's two for PS3 already, and then I'll probably end up getting the 360 version too, but probably not right away.
Yeah, I hear you.
I need to interrupt really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just to quickly go back to Rock Band Network, I just happened to be browsing the track list, and I'll send it to you guys in a minute.
It's 311, isn't it?
No, there's
not.
But Travis, there is definitely a song that I know you need to get. It's by The Main Drag, and it's called Megatron.
Really?
Yes.
I'll sing it to my wife on our 5-year anniversary.
There you go.
It's probably like Megatron. Oh, I'm getting laid that night.
Sure you are. And more things that Travis will be interested in. If he doesn't get laid that night, he might maybe want to play some SOCOM 4. That was announced today by Sony.
And that's pretty big.
Being
Hell
made
yeah,
by
that's
Zipper.
Huge. Zipper. That's the big deal.
I personally don't care. But yeah.
Zipper. Okay.
I love SOCOMs.
Zipper is awesome. SOCOM's the first game I played online since the Dreamcast, and I really like SOCOM 1.
Too.
But then
that
for
was,
some reason, I never went back to it.
A first for a lot of people. It was definitely a first for a console. It was the first for me, and it was a good game. So of course, I was going to hold that near and dear. And SOCOM 1 and 2 being the high point of the series to date. Right now, 3 kind of stepped down a little bit, but when Confrontation for the PS3 came out, hearing that Slant 6, another company who didn't have much of a track record at all, came out and said they're making this game. Zipper gave us the permission to do it, and we're like, ooh. And the game had its problems. One of the worst releases ever for a game online. It was just horrible. And I tolerated its problems for my love of SOCOM, but now with Zipper taking the helm, I am really excited. And we get a single-player mode and a multiplayer mode. I am, so pumped. And they're saying it's fall. So, I mean, for a game to me, which is really, really big, that is very, very short. So, and Zipper just finished Mag, so I'm like, I really don't see this game coming out that soon.
That's the thing. With the release of Mag, I mean, they could technically take that engine and pull the camera out and make it third person and use that engine to make SOCOM.
I hope they don't. Because have you seen a lot of first-person games that let you pull back into third-person?
Yeah,
but... It does not look very good.
And yeah, SOCOM that could be tweaked. That could be tweaked.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that kind of thing could be tweaked. But, it's very possible that they do that. And then with having less, you know, having less people in the environment, they'll be able to, push more resources towards making the visuals look better, too.
Yeah. And I noticed something I was kind of concerned at because, you know, the SOCOMs were all about the gameplay, and there was a single-player mode, so the story was bare bones, if anything, always. But one of the things they mentioned, I don't know if, Jeff, when you were reading the article, if you read all the way through it, but they had said that for the single-player campaign, they're kind of going for, you know, the fully mo-capped characters with great voice acting, and they kind of... compared what they were trying to do to Uncharted, and I was like,
oh, really?
Really? SOCOM? This is SOCOM, right? Like, you're going to try to make
it. I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah.
They might use the same technology, but wouldn't expect anything on that level at all.
Yeah, so I'm really curious how they're going to take that in that type of cinematic direction for a game like SOCOM. So, but I'm psyched, man.
It doesn't really seem like it fits. They're going to do that for the single player?
For the single player, yeah.
Okay. So I guess that's possible, but...
It's very odd, but I'm still excited, so whatever.
All right.
Cool. Originally, I was going to mention the whole Activision Infinity Ward BS, but whatever. Look it up on the internet. shit's going down.
Yeah, Infinity Ward laid off. I'm sorry. A couple of executives in Infinity Ward got laid off. Activision apparently didn't pay them royalties or something like that.
Well, no, that's
the execs
like,
turned around and sued them, and now Activision is saying that they're full of shit and that kind of thing. So
yeah, kind of, pretty much.
Yeah,
but yeah,
Activision is evil. That's the moral of the story.
Pretty much.
Well, now you're going to force me to talk about it.
No, just move on. Let it go.
Okay. Let it go. Letting it go. Infinity Ward aren't great either. Just saying. Where is I? Okay. Halo, we talked about it earlier with Reach. We all know that Microsoft is shutting down the Xbox Live for the original Xbox in a couple months, I believe. End of April, I think. Microsoft is offering up to people who have stuck with Halo 2 for so long and haven't upgraded to a 360. They're offering those people, 3 months free of Xbox Live Gold, 500 Microsoft points, and access to the Halo Reach beta if they upgrade to a 360 when those servers close down. So, if you're one of those people out there who have an original Xbox, you're probably not listening to this right now. But if you are, you might want to take that into consideration. So,
hey, we've covered cool every brand new Xbox game that's come out since we started this podcast.
That is true. No, we have not talked about Madden 09 or 08.
Well, you got me now, so.
really quick, too, because these guys haven't really been, don't know about it, but people who have been following the independent games, Shank and Deathspank, they look pretty cool. They're showed off at E3. Didn't have a publisher at the time. They were shown off on Xbox 360. Everyone thought, basically, that meant it was exclusive. But EA has actually picked up the rights to publish them, and they're coming out on both Xbox Live, PSN, and I believe Deathspank is also coming out on the PC as well. So, look for those games sometime this year. NHL, more sports. NHL 2K11.
Oh, sweet.
I thought that series was going to stop.
No.
Some podcast that hockey's not a real sport.
Oh, I'm not going to bite on that one. NHL 2K11 is going to be exclusive to the Wii this year. So, I guess 2K has no, I guess... Well, maybe not pride, but they have no confidence in releasing that game on PS3 and 360 anymore because they seem to be getting dominated by EA series. And EA, I believe, aren't making the NHL series for the Wii next year. So if you're a hockey fan, you should be because it's a real sport. you only have a Wii. Your only option is NHL 2K11. So, Mark... Are you going to buy NHL 2K11? I mean, you love hockey.
I am. I'm going to get one of those hockey stick attachments for the Wiimote. It's kind of like baseball, right?
Is anything gonna come out of the microphone when you swing that stick? You know, when you go for the slap shot.
Maybe it'll go burr because it's all cold and icy.
Wow. Mm. Okay, Travis, is anything gonna come out of that microphone when you do a slap shot?
I think
shot?
The speaker's gonna say "Who
gives a shit?"
Oh yeah, that too.
He was trying real hard, Mark. He was trying really hard.
Yeah, that game's been terrible for like the last 3 years.
I defer to your thoughts on a hockey game.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, that one actually sold on the Wii though, because I think that one actually used like the Wii Motion, like not Wii Motion Plus, but actually used the Wii controller. Like, when the game was not that great, so I think a lot of casual people bought it. Because yeah, I remember it being like a top seller. A lot of the EVs around my place. But
the last hockey game I ever played was on the regular Nintendo. It was the generic ass ice hockey where you choose between the skinny guy, the fat guy.
The game was awesome.
The only one I ever played was the original ice hockey on NES and Blades of Steel.
Shit, yeah. I forgot about Blades of Steel.
With the past.
Ooh! If we're on the subject of little like throwback games, they announced Tecmo Bowl throwback.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I can't wait. Yep. Okay, that's enough.
People play it once, then never again.
Fuck that, dude! Tecmo Bowl is a shit.
But what that's the news, still guys. Be.
That's everything. Yeah, exactly.
Good deal. Thank you, Jeff. All right, let us take a break, and we will come back, and we are going to be talking about why hardcore games don't sell well on the Wii. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
We'll be back.
Toot-toot-toot.
It's time to wake up.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer. Got my Doritos. Check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm gonna kill me some terrorists. They ain't never gonna know what hit them. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child. Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Ooh. Nice.
Ooh. Oh. This week we are talking about the Wii and why these. Like,
I think
really,
119 episodes in, we're finally talking about
the Wii.
It's time.
Wii Nation, yo.
It's time. Exactly. I think we've had enough.
Mark's
time.
Mark's turning a new leaf over for us. It's like, this is now the Wii Nation podcast.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's been hardcore games that came out for the Wii in the past, and they never seem to sell very well, especially things like
Dead Space.
Dead Space Extraction was the first one I was going to think of, and you know, things like. More Mass Effect. I'm not sure how well that sold.
TVC, I don't think that's doing too well.
Mad World.
Mad World didn't sell very well.
Pretty much everything that's...
Yeah, pretty much fun. Any game that's good.
No, any game that's good but not Nintendo First
right,
Party.
That's exactly. Not Nintendo exactly. First Party yeah. Doesn't seem to sell. So we wanted to hear what you guys had to say, and you responded pretty well. So, Travis, why don't you take away with some emails?
If I have to. Well, we're going to start off with our buddy Nabishin. He says, "What up, in dude?" And I'm guessing Mark from PS Nation. How did he know? Because we didn't really talk about it.
We didn't talk about it.
That's weird. Okay.
Huh.
It's your
did
old pal, Nabishin, 186, here to answer your question of the week. So why do hardcore games not sell on the Wii? Two words, motion control. Well, it's actually like one word. It's like hyphenated, but anyway. Or the newly dubbed name that hardcore gamers call it, waggle control. Granted, this doesn't apply to every Wii game, but whenever we hear of a new interesting game that comes out for it, our mindset... are as followed. Wow, that looks freaking awesome. Too bad it has waggle control. In a way, we are justified for making that statement, seeing that it's exactly what we are getting, but we should really not try to judge a book by its cover, or in this case, judge a book by its waggle, and at least give the game a shot. Another reason why hardcore games don't sell on the Wii are because most of the hardcore games are now new IPs, while the rest are light gun games. Think about it. All the well-known franchises, Resident Evil, Dead Space, Call of Duty, House of the Dead, are all light gun games. As for all the other hardcore Wii games, No More Heroes 1 and 2, Mad World, Shirin, Muramasa fall into a very, very niche category. About a month ago, my most anticipated game of 2010, No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle, released with an average rating of 87 on Metacritic, making it the highest rated quote-unquote hardcore game on the Wii. But as far as sales on the game, it barely sold 70,000 so far.
Ooh,
whereas fucking bullshit games like Just Dance are currently at 1.5 million sold.
What?
Yeah. Well, anyway, those are my thoughts. So reflect on them and buy No More Heroes, please. Your pal, Nobishin186. P.S. Seriously, buy No More Heroes or I will hate you. Very good email, thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna come back to No More Heroes talk later on as well. But no, I mean, he's got a very good point. A lot of the games with, you know, these waggle controls are just, you know, hardcore gamers are just kind of put off by them. Yeah. The one big exception that comes to mind though is like Resident Evil 4. I mean, that was a really good implementation of the Wiimote as you know, as part of the controller.
Only way I'll play that game.
Yeah. And now they're making it, they're doing Resident Evil 5 that way. And, you know, I'm now, I don't want to play Resident Evil 5 now. I haven't played through it yet, but I want to wait for it to come out with the, you know, with the PlayStation Arc or something like that and play it on
the Wizard
that
Sticks.
Way. With the Wizard Sticks.
Sticks.
The Wonder Wand.
But yeah, I mean, that's definitely a turnoff in a lot of cases. Yeah.
Well, do you want me to go into my whole speech about it now, or should I save it till after?
Save it till after.
Yeah, save it till
okay.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want you to get too...
Because, yeah, he touches on a lot of stuff I was going to say. Yeah, no, I won't. I probably won't actually trash this as much as I do PS3 exclusives.
Oh, man.
So Mark's going to be out of a podcast after this show.
We have a fifth member of Interactive.
That's right.
We Nation.
The family.
Moving on.
Wiga Nation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Moving on, we have a new email from Zeke. He says, I guess you're looking for a more sophisticated answer. Then, motion control is for kids and the elderly, and people in diapers are seldom hardcore.
That's a valid answer.
Hardcore gamers play hardcore games on hardcore consoles while their Wii is collecting dust in the corner where it belongs. To quote Ben Draba from Engadget, or however you say his name, how good can it be if it isn't in HD? Later, Zeke. I'll be honest with you, it not being in high def, like only running, what is it, like 460?
480.
Yeah. That is an issue because you know, my Wii's not sitting in the man cave on, like, because I have a 32-inch LCD in here, but downstairs where we have the 48-inch high-def TV, the Wii looks really, really bad. Like, I was even attempting to play a couple of weeks ago House of the Dead Overkill, and it just looks really, really bad. I was having fun, but I'm like, man, I really wish... I need to be playing this on a smaller TV.
Do you have component cables? TV.
Yeah, no, it's hooked up.
It still looks
ass on a bigger TV.
It really I remember the first time I saw TVC was actually at Terry's house when Mark brought it over, like last year or 2 years ago. And I remember seeing on the standard FTV, and I was like, holy crap, this game looks awesome. And it still does look good, but on my TV, it's just way too pixely and too alias.
Is it artifacting? Is that the problem?
No, it's not artifacting. It just looks very...
Blurry.
It's like... I
don't know. Maybe
okay,
it's
okay, you know your
TV
problem that you think is going to happen with a DSi XL?
Yeah.
That's what it
it's
looks
what it
like.
Is. Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
It's
yeah.
Like, exactly it's like blowing it up. And it's like, because when I play TVC on like a smaller screen, like they have it on the demo station at the GameStop near my work, and it looks so much better. It's just because that's my only issue with it not being in HD. Because, I mean, if a game has a good art style, like Muramasa is still
gorgeous.
Yeah,
Muramasa is.
But that's in 2D.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's a sprite-based game, and sprite-based games will look that good if they put the time into it. Boyness Blob is the same way.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but still, Miramasa, I think, still looks better on a smaller TV or even a standard FTV than it does
I think an HD if you're going to put it on an HD TV, I think they all look a little better on a smaller size TV just because it is 480p and you don't have that level of detail.
Exactly.
I actually just moved my Wii back to an SD TV this week because I had it on my HD TV, which has a pretty poor 480p picture, but my receiver can upscale it to like 720 or 1080. But even then, like, it looked better. Yeah. But still, like, fuzzy and, like, just not sharp. But I have a really nice SD monitor, an RGB monitor that I hooked it up to, you know, nice crystal clear picture, and it looks fantastic on it. It's just like night and day.
It just wasn't designed for HD TVs, and they just kind of, I don't know. That's my only issue with it not being in HD, because I have no problem playing, like, I mean, there's still DS games and PSP games that are still really good looking, and there's Super Nintendo games that... Well, then again, don't hook it up to your HD TV, but...
I would. Why the hell not?
But still, because it looks god-awful. I mean, yeah, if you have a good art style and, you know, and you're on the right TV, they can still look really, really good, not being in HD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool deal. Well, you want to move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
We have another email, and Chris, this is actually one of your favorite new listeners, man.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Jackal! It's a jackal! It looks like a jackal! 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 It's a jackal! Jackal!
Fine!
It wasn't right the first time you said it! Why the hell would it be right the next 10 times? God! God!
Yeah,
I had to do that.
It's our buddy Jackal666. He says, hi, in this crew, why do hardcore Wii games sell like Bobby Kotick's fitness videos?
Nice. Well, I could think of someone that would be more appropriate, but Bobby Kotick.
I know who you're talking about. He's like maybe more than half of a life big. That didn't make any sense, but it got the point.
Half a planet, half a moon, half a satellite, half a something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jackal says, well, let's look at what the hardcore gamers want and see if it's what the Wii can provide. And it's really neat. He actually has a little graph here. You guys can't see it, but it's really interesting. The first half of the graph says what gamers want, and the second half it says what can the Wii provide it. So the first one, gamers want realistic graphics in a high-definition display. Can the Wii provide? No. Gamers want competent, comfortable, and precise control schemes. Can the Wii provide? Hell no. what gamers want? Streamlined and smooth online experiences. Can the Wii provide? He says, don't make me laugh. What gamers want? In-depth gameplay experiences. Can the Wii provide? If you're lucky, a half point for Metroid and Zelda, Miramasa and Mario. And then he finishes up. So overall, the Wii gets a half point out of 5. And this is why the hardcore games sell like shit on the Wii. Why bother when you can have better hardcore consoles why bother when you can have better hardcore consoles that look after the hardcore player so much better? And he says, increase the peace, Jackal666.
Nice. There's one thing that I want to point out specifically in this email, and that's online experience. It sucks every time because make you do those stupid ass friend codes
for every game,
and it's like you can't just. I mean, all right. So TDC, Jeff, does it let you do random matchups?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, good. Well, that's a plus at least.
No, that's stupid. You can play some random stranger, but you can't fucking play with your friends that you already have on your fucking Wii.
It still takes 10 minutes to find a match regardless.
Yeah, it takes a while, but it does have random match. Like, you can play randoms, but I think it's, if you already have
you can put someone on your friends list in the game, right?
Well, you have to put in the TVC friend code though.
Right. And that's what I mean. It's retarded because you have to do a friend code for every single game.
Exactly.
It's like, if I have your Wii code in my system, you should pull up on my friends list and I shouldn't have to enter it into any game ever again.
Exactly. And in TVC, like I said in the review and on the show, it's the way it's set up is ridiculous because unless you're both on the same screen basically at the same time, you can't even see that your friend's online. So it's pretty dumb.
Yeah, that's bleh.
This is something that confuses me about Tatsunoko versus Capcom. Okay, so you know, this past year, the fighting genre has really made a really strong comeback. Mm-hmm. You know, we've said that 1,001 times. Now, with TVC, when the publishers were about, you know, trying, when they were saying, okay, let's put all our plans on the, let's put all of our plans on the table here. Okay. Fighting games are huge. Look at Street Fighter 4. It's massive. Blaze Blue doing all right. Other games, yeah. Nah. But fighting games right now, on the whole, are hot right now.
Licensing, dude. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, honestly, did they say, okay, they had to have at least attempted to try to get this on the PlayStation 3 and,
they,
and the 360.
They might have tried, but you got to think that, okay, TVC came out in the arcade before Street Fighter 4 was launched and before Blaze Blue hit. And they had to pay probably a crap load of money, first of all, for the license in the first place. And then to, they have to relicense that again to bring it over to North America. And since they already had the license for, they own the rights for that stuff in Japan on the Wii, it would probably be cheaper for them just to repay just for the license fees for that, the Tatsunoko characters just one more time instead of having to again get the rights for that plus the rights to put it on PS3 and Xbox 360.
But how do
I don't even think it's.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's just that. I mean, the game, it looks pretty good on the Wii, but mm-hmm. it is not a great-looking game by any means compared to anything on the HD consoles. But it looked like that in the arcades, and that's the thing. I think the game was low-budget to begin with. It always was. And I think it was kind of a quick and dirty port to the Wii because everybody and their mom owns a Wii in Japan.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you can say the same about the PS2, but the PS2 is also on its way out. So I can kind of understand why they would do it to the Wii, just do a cheap port, see how it sells, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and I think the one that came out of North America, I think the it's a kind of a testing ground on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do make another Versus game, it's pretty much guaranteed not going to be going to the Wii. It'll go to the bigger consoles.
I think it might like be if they make a TVC2, it'd probably be like to everything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where they that makes sense too. But I don't even know if we'd even see a TVC2 in North America again because. They might just be like, well, they didn't sell on the Wii because no one knows who Tatsunoko is, so we're not going to bother doing another Versus game in North America.
Yeah, I really think that's a game that should have come out on the HD consoles. I mean,
even
that
if it came
out
as downloadables or whatever, that'd
right.
be fine.
Yeah, I would have loved that.
Didn't I hear somewhere that they might be thinking about bringing that over onto PSN and XBLA?
Yeah, that's like
They kind of swore up and down that we'll never see Tatsunoko versus Capcom as it is on either of those, but I think they were sort of hinting that a sequel might make it.
Yeah,
one of
that's
them.
Basically what they're saying.
Okay, that would work.
Okay. I just wanted to mention another thing that now I was going to say this, save this for my my thoughts at the end, but two people have now mentioned that the whole Waggle thing, which I agree with. I think Waggle in games does scare off a lot of hardcore gamers, but. Games that don't use Waggle still don't sell well. And
yeah.
if no, the hardcore right. gamers know that they don't use Waggle, and they still don't sell. So I don't know if how much of an issue that goes into, especially in terms of like certain games, like Miramasa doesn't use the Waggle. Shit, something else doesn't use... I can't think of anything right now.
Boy in the Blob doesn't, but I don't know if
it's doesn't?
Necessarily
well,
as hardcore.
Yeah, quite a few games
does. Or wait, maybe it does for something. Shit, no, I don't remember.
Yeah, TVC doesn't use Waggle, obviously. If you try to play that game with the Wiimote, it's terrible. Oh, man. so I don't know if Waggle, does that affect you guys at all? Like, do you guys think, okay, right away it uses Waggle, it must be crap? Like, I know, Mark, you were playing Silent Hill Homecoming, for a bit.
Oh, I gotta talk about that, too, because I pretty much... I disagree with everything I tweeted about it now. The one thing about the Wii, make sure you have the settings right for the sensor bar, because games with motion controls don't play as good when it's on the wrong setting, as I found out.
Yeah, Mark sent a tweet out, and he's like, I'm not digging Silent Hill. He just wasn't happy for it. And I was like, seriously?
He's like, the control's terrible. It should use the Wii Motion Plus or something.
It kept losing where the Wiimote was. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this thing?
I was like, really?
What are people talking about?
I really enjoyed this game. And then he ended up saying, yeah, I totally rebuted everything
that
I said.
10 minutes later.
I fixed it.
But yeah,
it is really cool what they do in that game with the Waggle control. And it's one of the few games that I really like. You know, for instance, there are these scenes where you know, where the zombies are, or the monsters are chasing you, and they could, like, grab on, like, they could jump on your left side, or they could jump on your right side, or they could jump on your back. And depending on where they're at, say if one person jumps on your back, it actually prompts you to have both of your controllers and take your elbows and drive them behind you, like you're elbowing the beast off your back. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if they're on your side, you have to do the motion to where you're, like, trying to throw them off of you. And for me, it kind of worked because it's a tense situation as it is, because they did a good job in producing.
Do you like doing that kind of stuff? Does that scare you off the games or no?
No, it actually for me it worked. I don't know about Mark. I mean, but it worked.
Works for me now.
Have you been playing the game a lot or no?
I have been playing it a lot this week, and I'm a huge Silent Hill fan, and the series has just been kind of going downhill, so I wasn't really sure what to think of this one. But I agree. I think what they did with the motion controls in this is great. I mean, it's got your usual, like, you know, point the Wiimote at that knob and turn it kind of stuff, which, take it or leave it, it doesn't really bother me that much. You know, it's kind of interesting.
I like that shit in Metroid.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. But I really love, like, the flashlight moving around. Like, my only real gripe with the game now is I've got this weird motion sickness thing that I keep, I've mentioned before, but I don't know what it is. I think it's something with the camera moving smoothly, because Ratchet and Clank Crack in Time was doing the same thing to me, where it was like moving too smooth and too fast when the camera moved around, and it was starting to make me a little motion sick. But as long as I play this in short bursts, I'm okay. Because I actually really like what they did, and especially with the speaker in the Wiimote for like the phone calls and stuff.
Love it.
It's good. It really adds to the atmosphere. Now, as a Silent Hill game, I'm still a little on the fence, because I don't... Everything should be there, but so far the atmosphere hasn't completely grabbed me like the good Silent Hill games do. It's close, but I'm not that far into it yet either. But I do recommend playing it. I think it's good.
Yeah. And it's a different... Because it's more... It's not even like a redo of Silent Hill. It's more like a reimagination of it, because like it's a different type of Silent Hill, because like it's... Everything's more like iced over and frosty than like all dark and like...
Yeah, gloomy. I'm still not sold on the ice world, though.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. It's weird. It is weird.
See, from what it sounds like from you guys, though, it sounds like the motion control in this game was really well thought out, and you know, for the most part,
definitely
they did a pretty good job.
It's the core of the gameplay, without a doubt.
Like, right, and you know, that was something that I kind of want to get to, because it seems like the games that they try and make with waggle controls, a lot of them are just kind of tacked on. It's like, and the one that comes to mind is one that I think would have been much better with like controls for the classic controller pad. Is Mad World. I really hated it really felt like all the waggle was just tacked on. All you were doing was hitting a button and then, you know, doing the same motions over and over again. It just really felt like you could have done that some other way and had a better experience with the game. I mean, in my opinion, anyway.
I was going to say Twilight Princess, because
that
was definitely tacked on.
That was done on purpose. Yeah, that was
because it was a GameCube port. I mean, that used a controller. I mean, right? Yeah. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So the waggle in those doesn't turn me off as much. Like, I'm fine with it, but it's where like Silent Hill is like, they did some really good innovative stuff with it, and I think it works now that I'm actually using it correctly. The other ones, the waggle's there, and it's not that I dislike it, but I don't really like it either. So I don't know. I could take it either way. I would have loved it if they had an option to do like GameCube or classic controller support.
Right. Yeah.
But I can live with the waggle there, because it's not that offensive to me. I just every once in a while I get the feeling like, oh, I don't really want to play that because I have to wave the controller around.
Yeah, exactly. I'm lazy today. I just want to lay on my couch and hold it. Yeah. In my hand.
And I think another problem is that a lot of those games that do just tack on and make it more of a chore with the waggle control, it takes away from games that really do it well.
Yep.
You know, it's like you might have played one. Maybe you played Twilight Princess and you thought, okay, well, this is just tacked on. This waggle bullshit is, you know, I don't like this. And you may miss something like Silent Hill because of that. And, you know, I think that's totally another reason that a lot of these games that we see that are coming out that are good and actually implement a creative way to use the Wiimote, you know, it's just losing it, you know?
True.
And I actually looked it up, and somehow, some way, Muramasa actually sold 200,000 copies.
Oh, thank God.
That's pretty good.
Same here. And actually, it sold more in America than it did in Japan.
Wow.
I believe it.
Cool.
I was actually going to bring that up as an example later, and I probably will, but I think that was frankly due to Ignition's marketing, because they marketed the hell out of that game.
Yeah, and it's a good thing they did, too, because I don't think it would have gotten any attention if they didn't.
Nope. It would have ended up like every other hardcore Wii game that's $10 right now.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
Cool. Any more emails?
We do have some, but you know, word around the campfire is that we have a voicemail on the subject.
Let me check on that.
All right.
Hey guys, Taryn here. I don't really think that the question necessarily should be why don't hardcore games work for the Wii, because there really hasn't been a good hardcore game that has come out for the Wii.
If there was one and it came out
for the Wii, the PS3, and the 360, you'd actually be able to compare the Wii's capability to handle hardcore games. Now, whether or not it could work, I don't know. I think if the game came out that was on that level, you would have to play it with the classic controller attachment, because the Wii 1 doesn't have the accuracy you would need for it to be considered a hardcore game. I think the developers would probably have to take that into consideration whenever they're making a decision on whether or not to bring a quote-unquote hardcore game to the Wii market. And people could claim that Red Steel is hardcore, but that's just a shitty example. God. I mean, if Clive Barker's Jericho was the only FPS on the PS3, it would mean that FPS games don't work on the PS3. My point really is that no hardcore game has been released for the Wii that's been good. And in my opinion, if one did come out, it would have to make use of the classic controller attachment, because once again, the Wii Wand just doesn't have the pinpoint accuracy that you can get from a controller. I think the buttons are much more sensitive.
Yeah, you can just press X and shit.
Much more responsive.
When this dude hiding under his bed in his parents' room,
waving around. I mean, there's way too much room for error. And when it gets to hardcore, that level, you need that precision of being able to make your character do exactly what you need it to do. And I don't think that the Wii Wand is accurate enough to actually do that. So, anyway, that's my two cents, and maybe some change. And I hope you guys have a great show.
Thanks, Taryn.
Cool.
Sounds
thanks,
like he's
Ryan.
Trying to be quiet. Sounds like he's like, no.
You wouldn't know.
He's a mellow guy sometimes.
You wouldn't know about the email, but he's probably the funniest guy that we've
ever met. Oh, I know. That's why I made that comment.
He is ungodly.
Is he hiding from
somebody?
He can
be mellow, too, it seems.
Yeah.
I 100% disagree.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah,
I would say if you think that there's not a hardcore game that works on the Wii, that would work better on a standard console, look at Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's the first one I'm going to bring up. Look at Resident Evil 4. I mean, I you don't even have to play it to know that the vast majority of people who have played it prefer it on the Wii with those controls.
I think the Prime games control better on the Wii than they did on GameCube.
And I am kicking myself for not getting Metroid Prime Trilogy right now.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah,
you
I should
still find it.
How many times did I tell you to get that? Maybe once, actually.
You mentioned it when he was drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of his argument depends on what you define as a hardcore game, too, and I really don't want to get into that.
That's a whole other feature.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you mentioned Silent Hill too, and it sounds like the controls work really well for Silent Hill for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I will agree with him that it is very inaccurate in a lot of cases, and that's why you have to resort to something like just waggle and that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
But in other cases there have been some games that make very good use of it.
When they're built around it and they do it right, I mean, that's the whole thing. They have to be built for it. The Wii isn't made to compete directly with PS3 and 360.
Absolutely.
He also brought up saying that the game would have to be to use the classic controller, but we already named some games that could be considered hardcore in terms of like games that gamers that have been gaming for years would like use the classic controller, and sometimes only the classic controller. So I don't really know what he was saying there. Because there definitely are some. Maybe he just hasn't played them.
Yeah, and Darren, I mean, you gotta play some games. It was mentioned before, but it's a shame that a lot of the hardcore titles that you get seem to go with the light gun route, like, you know, like House of the Dead, Overkill, and like Dead Space. I mean, they're really, really good games, but it's like I wish there was another way for them to make that quality of a game without it being a light gun game. You know, yeah. I'd like to see a Dead Space with a Resident Evil type control scheme. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't have to be a light gun game.
It's funny. I don't even really consider a light gun game being very hardcore at all. In terms of the games that we play on consoles that we call hardcore, when was the way last I'm time looking we played at a light gun on the PS3.
Well, the way I'm looking at this conversation is more of games that your grandma and parents wouldn't buy, and like the games that you would like normally buy if like the Wii, if the Nintendo was just a regular Nintendo console, didn't have like motions, or even games that you'd buy similar games on a PlayStation or 360. And yeah, you're right. Yeah, light gun games aren't really that popular per se, but
yeah,
I think they kind of they're in between like hardcore and casual because they're games that casual players can enjoy, but I see it more as hardcore just because some of my favorite games on the system are like Ghost Squad and House of the Dead, which are Sega light gun arcade ports.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm obviously a huge Sega fan. So seeing these arcade ports, I mean, that's something I associated with being kind of hardcore, like on the Saturn and Dreamcast, having these light gun games. But, you know, that's just me, I guess.
Yeah. Like those games, if you owned a Saturn or a Dreamcast or Sega CD and any one of those games came out for that system, you bought it. Like, that's the way it was. Like, any kind of Sega first party that was kind of like that. And they're not selling on the Wii. I mean, some games, like Panzer Dragoon, ever since Saturn, has sold crap. Like, Orta was a bomb on the Xbox, so...
Yeah.
That's... I don't know.
Yeah.
Poor
that's
Sega.
That's a shame, too. Because that was a good game.
I loved
that's
it.
That's why I bought an Xbox.
No.
That's right.
I actually bought an Xbox. When I bought my Xbox, it was because it came packed in with two Sega games. Jet Set Radio Future and Sega GT. And I was so disappointed with both of them. I was so sad.
they weren't the originals. Tangent.
I bought the Xbox. Right,
the Dreamcast kind of always has a place on this show.
This tangent ties in a little bit because I went with the GameCube for that generation of consoles after the Dreamcast died.
I did too.
Yeah, and then, because I hated Sony at the time, because they killed the Dreamcast, obviously.
Oh, of course, you were mad, upset.
Yeah, but then I got tired of waiting for Nintendo exclusives and decent third-party games on the GameCube, so I bought the Xbox.
I was going to say, most Sega, because I used to, I was a Sega fanboy, and I remember reading on forums, and like a lot of people were like, oh, we're going to get an Xbox instead of PlayStation 2, because a lot of Sega games already announced at that time, like... what was that game called? It was like, I'm pretty sure it was a launch title, the one where you're like, it's a third person kind of shooter, but you're flying around.
Oh, Gun Valkyrie.
Gun Valkyrie, that's right. Yeah, that looks so awesome. Because that was originally supposed to be a Dreamcast game.
Yeah.
And then, that was hard.
Man, I gotta fire up my old Xbox.
I gotta finish modding mine.
That's what I was saying. I need to get me a little $50 Xbox and hook me up. Well, I mean, I shouldn't do that. Never mind.
Hunt emails.
So is that where we stand on that last email?
Sure, why not?
Cool.
All right. Moving on, our buddy Kung Fu Gold Chain.
Hey, I know him.
He says, I have a three-part email here. First off, in answer to your question of the week, the reason is simple. The Xbox 360 and PS3. Why settle for mediocre graphics and control when you can have a much more superior experience? That being said, the Wii is the only system I have two of. One upstairs for my daughter and one downstairs for big boy Wii games. You gotta hand it to Nintendo. They really know how to move systems. He also goes on to discuss the ever so famous discussion of whether or not The Matrix is a kung fu martial arts movie or not, and we will skip that because we have a whole thread from episode 118, about 60 messages strong, that we're still to this day continuing this argument. So you can take your opinions there.
What was his opinion? Just wondering.
He said that. He says,
I guess he doesn't, I guess he says no,
because he said, go watch the original Drunken Master. If I say in Matrix after that, I have bigger problems. You know, what is funny about this is that I remember, after, you know, in retrospect, seeing the backlash and the
30 emails we received this week just on this subject. I remember that I did see Kung Fu Hustle, and I remember enjoying that. And then a few months ago, Chris, we all went and saw Ninja Warrior, or was that Ninja Assassin?
Ninja Assassin. God, yeah, that movie sucked so bad.
That was terrible. I remember leaving because it was a double feature. It was Blindside and Ninja Assassin. We were like, Blindside was great, but Ninja Assassin was
funny too because we went to the drive-in, see double feature, Blindside and Ninja Assassins. We all went to see Ninja Assassins. And Blindside was going to be throwaway. And we were all sitting there watching Blindside like, this is a really fucking good movie. And at the end, then Ninja Assassins comes on. It's like, can we go home? You know?
Yeah, we started drinking more and like joking. Like we ended up just doing a riff tracks with about 20 people in our group. It was great. And then he's moving on. Kung Fu Gold Chain says, I have a random question for you. What do you guys think will be this year's Borderlands? Meaning, what is this year's sleeper hit? Other than Darksiders, that is.
Let's save that until after we finish the feature. Until we do, when we get back to the email section.
Okay, just remind us.
Just then. Remind me, because I will forget it.
Will do. I'm writing it down right now.
Cool deal. Moving on. We have one of our listeners, Jean-François Justra. I'm probably butchering his name, but it's not Marquis.
Different Francois.
Different Francois.
He says, sup, Indus, to respond to Travis's call out about The Matrix.
Oh, here we
go. Sorry, man, The Matrix is not a martial arts movie, yada, 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 yada. For question of the week, why do hardcore games
not sell on
the Wii? That
was like a 4 or 5 line paragraph, all in yada, yada, yadas.
Why don't hardcore games sell on the Wii? Well, I don't know. I think mainly because Nintendo doesn't market themselves properly for that market or audience. I remember Nintendo saying that developers just need to market their products better to sell on the Wii. Honestly, I think that's a load of BS. The Wii is a success simply because it rode on the hype/fad train. Everyone wanted to buy one. When it came to the games, Nintendo barely marketed them, and it still sold well. I highly doubt that Nintendo puts the same marketing budget as Activision did for Modern Warfare 2, or even Microsoft did for Halo. I think hardcore games don't sell well because they don't ride the same hype or fad train as the Wii. I can't think of one single third-party game that sold as well compared to first-party Nintendo games. Just look at the top 10 Wii games on the console, and he had linked in from Wikipedia the top 10 selling, and it's all, you know, the Wii brand, the Wii Sports, Wii Fit, Wii Play, and then after that, it's all like Mario first-party games.
It's all first-party games. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, every single one. You got Brawl, you have Galaxy, Mario Party 8 even sold 6.7 million copies. God damn, that's terrible.
Mario Party's fun.
It's just ridiculous. But you know,
I don't mind Mario Party so much. I think it's fun too, Mark. I'm with you.
Yeah, they aren't that bad. Well, face is terrible.
He had mentioned some good points. Stuff that, you know,
that was actually
people
mean.
Really,
that's like not even funny.
Something
Sorry.
That people don't really even talk about. It's okay, buddy. Something that people don't really talk about because, you know, oh, you know, I don't like it because they're, you know, it's games for kids, or it's all waggle control, or the HD. But, you know, we don't really talk about, you know, how the Wii markets it. I can't remember the last time I saw a commercial for a first party.
No, the reason video game. I think they marketed the shit of it, but the thing is, it wasn't hitting the market. It wasn't watching. They weren't marketing it in the mediums that like hardcore gamers watch. They're marketing it on shit like Oprah and shit like in like newspapers and shit that your parents and like our parents and like people read and watch TV. It wasn't prime time like 9 o'clock at night.
No, I agree. Like Oprah doing like We Fit or like a Jenny McCarthy fitness game. But like I'm talking like more or less upon the lines of like Mario Kart or I don't know, Brawl or something like that. You know,
I saw a lot
Brothers.
Of commercials for Mario Kart.
I didn't see one at all.
Really?
That one I remember.
I don't remember
Mario Kart either. But I have TiVo, so I skip all the commercials anyway.
I've never
really.
Seen it.
I don't remember one for Brawl, but I definitely remember one for Mario Kart.
Yeah,
but
I did
you know,
too.
I saw you know. Every channel had the Metal Gear Solid 4 commercial when Metal Gear Solid was being released. Modern Warfare was everywhere. You know, they pumped out some serious advertisement for those games.
You also got to think, too, like, people who don't really know the industry or anything like that or what's coming out, they probably just walk into Walmart and EB, GameStop, whatever, and say, I want to get something for the Wii. What do you recommend? And I'd say 99% of the people there are going to recommend something by Nintendo. Because they're okay, it's an older person who likely doesn't want something like Miramasa or like Resident Evil or anything like that. I'm gonna recommend friggin' Mario Party or Wii Play or Mario Kart or something like that.
Right.
Because I know definitely my dad doesn't know anything about that. He asked me what games to get, and I honestly don't recommend the hardcore shit to him because I know he's not gonna understand it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, get Mario Party 16.
Yeah, it's either that or it's the grandparents and the parents and the aunts and uncles who go to get gifts and they don't know any better. Yeah, so they're, well, little Jimmy really liked that Disney movie, so I'll buy that game.
Yeah.
And like that's why the shovelware cash-in titles sell so well. I mean, it was the same on the PS2.
Yeah.
And even like 360 PS3. That's why these games get lost in the shuffle so easily, because there's just tons and tons of this shovelware.
Yeah, for sure. Makes the money.
I'm gonna bring up something about marketing a little later when we get to our points too. But yeah, it's pretty bad the way they market the Wii in general.
Now they don't even have to though. Now it's not. No, it's pretty bad.
Right.
Cool. Continue. Yeah.
All right. Well, our final email of the feature is from Jerry Hester. He says, "Hey guys, Jay Hest here with a response to the question of the week. I love my Wii whenever I'm playing it with my 5-year-old or my wife. I love virtual console titles and even some of the updates like WiiWare Excitebike. But when it comes to the hardcore titles, it's really tough to justify them. I have a hard time paying full price for a title that looks like it came out for the GameCube. Call me a graphics whore or whatever, but when I moved on to the current gen systems, I found it increasingly difficult to immerse myself in a game that, in most cases, looks like ass and has tacked on waggle bullshit. A compelling story is really important to me in my gaming, and whenever I have to concentrate on waving my hands around like some kid who's swinging his glow sticks at a rave, I lose that immersion. I still pick up a hardcore title or two on the cheap, House of the Dead Overkill for $12. Sweet!
Nice.
But unfortunately, I look at the Wii like I do my old PS2, a system to pick up budget titles for a quick distraction. Later, guys, keep up the great work. Jay Hest."
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, and I mean, he just reiterates most of what we said so far.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's great if it's great for, I will say it is great for multiplayer, like you said, with the family. But the problem is that it's like, and I think it actually came out in a news report like way back. It's like, what's the difference between the Wii and a board game? You know, the Wii is a $250 board game. You know, you take it out, you play it with your family, and then what? You know, it seems
like it's a virtual console games.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Yeah, the virtual console was a great idea, and I have several titles, but there's still a problem there too, because they don't have their storage solution figured out.
Yeah, it works fine off the SD card now.
Well, that's true, but it doesn't have a limit of like 2 gigs on the SD card.
You can get 4 or 6 gig. I mean, I've seen bigger than that.
Yeah, they added.
No. What I mean is, doesn't the Wii only accept 2 gigs? I thought that's.
No, they added SHDC support or SDHC support or whatever that is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they added that a while back.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, that's good. So I right now it's like most of the time I hold off on the virtual console stuff, because I've noticed that the stuff that I buy, it's like I'll play it like once or twice and then I'm done with it. You know, it's like.
Yeah, well, I spent a fortune on virtual console games and did the same.
Yeah, it was fun to kind of reminisce about that for all of like 10 minutes. Now I'm done. Mm-hmm. Let's go play God of War or something, you know? But yeah, I mean, based on what's, you know, besides what's been talked about today, based on what's been talked about so far, what do you guys think? I mean, why doesn't shit like this work?
Nintendo fucked up. That's really where I'm coming from on this, and I'll try to condense my story so I don't take up too much time. But when this generation of consoles came out, like, I was not ready to go HD and all that, and I'm like, I'm not going to buy a 360 or a PS3 and put it on an SD TV, so we got the Wii. And I was skeptical of the motion controls, but then, of course, like everybody else, when it came out, you went to your friend's house and played Wii Sports, and you're like, oh my god, this is amazing!
This is awesome!
So we bought it and played Wii Sports and Rayman Raving Rabbids for 3 months straight, and then rented a whole lot of crap and waited for something better to come out, and it never did. So eventually we're just like, well, you know, I guess we're going to have to get another system if we want something that's more, you know, game-like. Because it was like the GameCube all over again. Nintendo had their first-party titles that were spaced out that were great. But unlike the GameCube, the Wii has the third-party support. It was just that when it came out, those games were so bad. And I really think,
yeah,
that is where Nintendo completely lost a hardcore gamer. That and their marketing towards, you know, the non-gaming segment. Now, I don't fault them at all for changing their shift to focus to, like, families and soccer moms, because they need to make money. But they should not have abandoned the hardcore gamer set the way they did. And they even admitted that. Like, what was it, like, around E3 last year or something? Mm-hmm. They kind of said something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was their big mistake, because hardcore gamers, I mean, there were games that should have been good on the Wii that weren't. Like, we rented, one of the first ones was Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the Wii.
Yeah.
It, you know, beat 'em up. We like those kind of games. It's pretty simple. For the most part, it's fine because it uses the buttons, but then you have to, like, waggle for some of the special attacks, and it wasn't accurate. It didn't work very well. And there are just tons of games that did that. And never mind the fact that Nintendo oversold the motion capabilities of this thing. Now, with Wii Motion Plus, it's to what it should have been to begin with.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like, basically, Wii Motion Plus is, in my opinion, it's their way of conceding that the Wiimote was not, the Wiimote was not what it was supposed to be when it first came out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, nobody but Nintendo and a select few third parties really understood how to use the Wiimote effectively. And that was it, you know, with Nintendo not marketing to hardcore gamers and third parties fumbling to try to figure out what the hell to do with it. The hardcore gamers moved on. You know, like, the Wii went in the closet, or they brought it out for parties. And now, honestly,
I was going to say, now they're...
Damn you.
I was going to say, now Nintendo's even dropped the support for Wii Motion Plus, it seems. Everything that's coming out doesn't even
use it. That's kind of scary, but I think a lot of that, too, is even third parties being like, well, we don't want to support this because it requires them to... It requires
an additional piece.
Requires accuracy, too. Weird.
But I think what Nintendo should have done is packed in the classic controller with the console when it came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, of course, they wanted to push the motion control, so I understand why they didn't do it. But I think it was a big mistake, because, hell, Virtual Console games, some of them require it, like the Super Nintendo and the GameCube games, or not GameCube, I'm sorry, N64. But I don't understand why, to this day, there's games that come out that do not support either that or a GameCube controller. Why not have the option? Now, like, game makers always will go, like, program it for the lowest common denominator, which means for people who only have a Wiimote and Nunchuck. Fine. Put the motion control version in, but there's absolutely no reason they can't also include classic controller support. Like, I bought Blaster Master Overdrive on WiiWare. It's actually pretty good, but it forces you to use the Wiimote like a NES pad, which would be great if it wasn't trying to get you to use the A button and the B button trigger
pad. Oh, that fucks everything up.
Mm. Yes. And it's not game-breaking, but it's annoying as hell. And there is no option for classic controller or GameCube. Why? That makes no sense. I mean, Microsoft really did it best this generation with forcing developers to adhere to, like, certain standards for the online. Nintendo should have been doing that with the controls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't.
That's
pretty cool.
Consoles.
Oh, yeah. But like I said before, with all the shovelware, like, the good hardcore third-party titles that are awesome just get buried under it. And the hardcore gamers just don't pay attention. Like, I consider myself a pretty hardcore gamer that I pay attention to gaming news constantly, but I go for month-long stretches where I just don't even pay attention to the Wii at all. And, like, right now, I'm like, getting back into it, which is why I've been talking about it so much on our show lately. It's because I picked up all these great hardcore games for, like, $10 a piece or less. And it's awful for these third-party publishers to lose out like that. But, I mean, the gamers succeed at least. But then you got, like, Sega saying, yeah, our hardcore game's bomb, so we're not going to make any more.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, with how well the past few games that they've made have done, it's like you can't really blame them.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, Mad World didn't sell shit.
Yeah, and it was, House of Dead Overkill,
pretty,
too.
Pretty big, too. A lot of places, a lot of, like, websites and stuff were giving it a lot of coverage.
Yeah, and a lot of them get reviewed great. Like, Sheeran, I think, is a great game, and it's the one I've been playing the most lately, but I don't think it's actually going to sell all that great. And it's a niche title to begin with, being a roguelike RPG, but I recommend everybody go buy it.
I do eventually want to get it, because it sounds like it's a little bit easier to deal with than, like...
How many times have we said that about a Wii game?
Yeah, this is true.
I eventually want to get it.
Yeah,
and when it's, like, $10, I do.
Yeah. But then the publishers lose, or it's like, I'm getting it on clearance or used for $10. The publisher doesn't win.
They don't get anything there. They've already got the money for that,
right.
That one. So it's like,
yeah,
the store's not going to restock it when you buy it at that price.
Yeah. But what we were saying before about marketing, like, I think Muramasa did well because they marketed the hell out of that game. And I think Capcom's done a good job marketing Tatsunoko versus Capcom as well. And I don't think it's actually done that bad, has it?
I don't think it's done terrible, but I mean, it's probably done... To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being in the, I wouldn't say tops of the third-party games, but, cause, I mean, anyone who's a big fighting fan who has a Wii likely bought it.
And I doubt they had high expectations for that one. I mean, a fighting game on the Wii.
True.
But Nintendo...
Like you said, it's... No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what Nintendo should have been doing is helping these third parties to market these games if they really wanted to keep the hardcore gamer crowd.
I don't even think they care at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I think
it's the publisher's responsibility. Yeah. Let them do it. Yeah.
I think they actually do care now, though, because if you look at, like, Monster Hunter 3 that's coming out, I mean, Capcom wants that game to be huge because it's humongous in Japan, but it's done shit here.
Well, and it also gets rated really, really badly here. Every single one that comes out gets rated horribly.
I think a lot of that is due to, like, the American press doesn't really get it.
Right,
and it's not a perfect game by any means, but Nintendo, I think,
needs work. But you know, it's not. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of places give it like fives, and it's not a five game. You know,
oh, no, not
even,
at all.
Least.
But I think Nintendo's actually working with Capcom because it's got free online here. They're packing it with the Classic Controller Pro. I mean, if you pre-order at GameStop, you're getting like 500 Wii points with it when you pre-order. So I think Nintendo is starting to help out, and I know this isn't a Wii game, but they announced Dragon Quest IX is coming to the DS in the US, and Nintendo is actually the one publishing it.
Yeah, and I know they're making... Aren't they making Dragon Quest X for the Wii?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
I
heard
something about that, too. I think you're right.
So,
yeah.
One of the things that I was going to say with marketing goes back to something that Mark said earlier, and that's the fact that it gets marketed on places like Oprah and like news shows and shit like that, and I wanted to ask you guys if you've seen, there's like a video that's circulating YouTube, and it's like the Today Show or something like that, and they're playing Winter Olympic sports, and they're doing a curling event, and there's a dude and a woman up on the stage in front of this TV, and the guy seriously looks like he's jerking off. I don't know if you've seen this video, but I'll send it to you, and if I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. But it's just ridiculous to see that. And it's like, as a hardcore gamer, if it wasn't that, you know, if I was just some average consumer that considered myself like in, like a hardcore gamer where I was into like 360 and PS3, I would see something like this and I would be like, I'm never going to buy that shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's for reasons like that. It's like the marketing that they're doing is so focused on Joe Schmo that knows nothing about gaming and your grandmother that, you know, hardcore gamers just don't care. They don't want it. And that's basically the gist of it.
The worst thing is I don't think they would have had to have marketed to them that much to keep some of these nice hardcore games afloat. Because of course they're not going to, you know, the hardcore gamers won't care about any of that stuff. But all they need to do is just, you know, keep it in their minds that these games are out there. So, like, hey, your family's got a Wii. You can play this awesome hardcore gaming experience that you can't get on 360 or PS3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They just, I think they really did drop the ball with that. But hardcore gamers do generally make up a much smaller segment of the market and don't make them nearly as much money.
Right. But, yeah, and you're right about that. But, you know, the ones that are marketed, like third-party games that are marketed, do actually do a little bit better. And Muramasa is a good example of that. And,
mm-hmm.
Jeff, so is Tetsunoko versus Capcom. Apparently, it's sold close to 300,000 copies.
Holy shit. Wow.
Now, this is a worldwide Damn. Number, but still, you know, it's a hardcore game that's on the Wii that's sold 300,000 copies. That's not too shabby.
Are we going through our spiels here? Do we have any more emails left? Or
no, we're done with emails.
That's it for the emails, yeah.
So. Okay. Because my thing, this is the reason why I don't play my Wii a lot, and I think it's a very dumb reason, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of other people shared the same reason, and that is ever since this generation started, I just feel connected with the system that I'm playing on, whether it's, well, now especially more like Xbox Live, of course, in the beginning, then PSN has definitely improved, and I feel like when I play a game, even if it's a single-player game, I'm connected to a community where I can see what other people are playing,
right,
people can message
right.
me at any
yeah.
time. And with the Wii, I'm not. I know when I turn on that Wii, I feel like I'm on a lonely island playing
yeah.
a game. even if I'm playing like something like Dragon Age that is a single-player game, I still feel like, oh, cool, I can check out, like, hey, what's Mark doing? Oh, okay, he's playing like R-Type or something, like, because it's the last thing I think I saw you play on 360. But it's like, hey, I can see what people are doing. They can message me. You can do private chat.
No, I think that's very valid,
and
Jeff.
That's
more
yeah.
than you
do
know.
It.
I mean, it's and it goes back to just how badly the online is implemented on the Wii. It's all about friend codes, and your friend codes for your Wii, the Wii system codes don't mean anything to any of the games. You know, all it lets you do is send messages back and forth. It's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I have Dead Space. I've had that for a couple months now. I haven't even played it. Because I get home and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play some Dead Space. I'm like, well, before I play Dead Space, I'm going to throw on... First, I'm going to put on my 360 and my PS3, see who's online, mm-hmm. see what else everyone's playing.
Exactly.
And then I get cut up and yeah. tied up in something else. And then, yeah. So
yeah,
that's the reason
that's a very good reason. And that was one of the points I was going to bring up, is basically the online connectivity. And, you know, you kind of elaborated a lot better than I would have, as far as like being always connected and being able to see your friends online and what they're doing and stuff like that. It's definitely a valid reason, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And even sometimes if I'm playing it, I'll like leave the PS3 on in the background,
mm-hmm.
just like
yeah.
sitting idle, and I don't know why, like waiting for somebody
that.
Or whatever.
I'll do that too and switch through my inputs and be like, just checking.
Anybody
know,
on yet? Anybody on yet?
Like, well, every time I'm playing TVC online, I'm always have one or the other on because I want to use voice chat. So.
Yeah.
cool deal.
Travis, do you have anything you want to add? Or
I would literally be reiterating what you guys have been saying this entire time, so
yeah.
I'm not even going to waste my breath or waste our time. I mean, I feel exactly the same way. Exactly.
Cool. I seriously yeah. think that there is a place for it. I just think Nintendo is doing
minimal effort.
They're doing a great job of making the hardcore not feel comfortable with the Wii. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I really think that's a big, big part of it.
I do have something to add then on top of that. Then.
All right, go ahead.
That being said, we bitch about these games not selling, but, you know, of the millions and millions of Wiis out there, I'm sure at least a million of those are hardcore gamers that have other consoles. Or I'm sure it's mm-hmm. the number's more than that. But, you know, these games aren't selling because we're not buying. And we can bitch all day and say, hey, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No one buys. But, you know, we don't buy them. And the question is, why don't we buy them? Why will I opt out of going downstairs and playing a good game that is Silent Hill Shattered Memories to come upstairs and sit on my Xbox and play Trials HD or Explosion Man?
Nah. I just told my reason.
Exactly, and I will do that. Yeah, it's right. It's that connectivity. Like, I want to come and get on my Xbox. I want
to
come in
down
and
to
get on
spoiled.
My PlayStation. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because everyone bitched about, like, the GameCube, because the GameCube didn't have third-party support, and usually third-party support goes where the sales are. And, okay, well, now Nintendo has the sales, and now people are bitching about the hardcore games, they're not catering to the hardcore. Well, they kind of did what they had to do to get back in this race, and to
yeah.
take the lead by a long way.
Right.
It's like they went from bottom to the top mm-hmm. in not even a full generation, so... I mean, you're going to have... Either way, people are going to be upset. They can't cater to both audiences because this PS3 and the 360 are not catering to the casual market. What's like the same casual market? I can't say the casual market, right. But the same casual market the Wii is. So it's either it's basically one or the other. It seems you can't make both happy.
We've come down to the conclusion of what the problem is. What does in 30 seconds? What does the hardcore genre need to do to succeed on the Wii, or can it? What does it need to do?
I don't
wait.
Go ahead.
Market better.
I was gonna say. Wait till the PS2 is dead. It'll take its place.
Think so?
That was my defense for it, like always, is that PS2 is going to go away, and these companies that can't afford to do the HD games will move over to the Wii, or they'll do like Wii with to the PSP port, like we've seen a lot. But I think we'll start seeing more of these companies, like NIS and Atlus have already started producing more for the Wii than they used to, and even porting games that were like PS2 only in Japan. Like Baroque and upcoming Sakura Wars, like making Wii ports for the Western markets.
Oh, Sakura Wars coming for the Wii as well?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think we'll start seeing more of that just because they have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Huh?
I think marketing would help a lot. I just don't see a lot of third-party marketing when it comes to Wii games. You know, and the ones that do market, you know, they see those hundreds of thousands of copies. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of them measure up to the multi-million sales that the Nintendo brand stuff does, but you know, you got to take what you can, I guess.
Yeah. Right. And make a better online infrastructure, get out a headset, and get rid of Wii codes. I think that'll help a lot too.
Yeah. The entire online structure needs to be fixed.
The what?
It's got that little set-top microphone.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's
apparently,
right beside my vision
apparently
camera.
Monster Hunter Tri works with Wii Speak.
Yeah.
I'll probably still want to use my 360 or something to chat.
Yeah, I'm thinking we'll Skype or 360 or something.
Yeah, when in doubt, Skype always works. So.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Should we get moving then?
Yes, yes. I think
we've beaten that horse to death. let's do some new releases. I think I have a repeat voicemail. Let me pull that up.
So they sent it in twice?
Okay, so hot off the heels of its WiiWare debut, Mega Man 10 is hitting PSN this week. Also, we have Yakuza 3 hitting the PS3, and in typical Sega fashion, they're screwing everything up once again by playing the content that they didn't cut from Yakuza 2 when they released that here. I don't know, what the fuck you doing, Sega? Seriously, what the hell? There's also BlazBlue Portable. Looks kind of interesting, I guess, if you're a fan of the BlazBlue series. You have a portable version, even though you can play the full game with remote play. Whatever. And yeah, that's more or less all I'm interested in. I guess there's that androgynous Japanese thingo number 13 coming out, but you know what? Who gives a shit? Not me, that's for sure.
Oh, nice. All right. Let me fill in some gaps here.
Yeah, there was a glaring omission. In
that let's for the PS3, as you said, Final Fantasy 13, Resident Evil 5, Yakuza 3 was mentioned, and Mega Man 10. And let's see. For 360, also getting Resident Evil 5, Final Fantasy 13, Scrap Metal, the one that – isn't that what you were mentioning earlier?
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. So there's some weird thing going on with Jaffe and that this is a lot
well,
like
we'll get to
Metal
that in a second,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
So that's coming out next week on XBLA. For the Wii, Calling is coming out next week, and that's actually all I have listed for the Wii next week. the DS is getting Photo Showdown. And then Pokemon Heart Gold and Pokemon Soul Silver.
Blech.
Who gives a shit? Okay, PC is getting Assassin's Creed 2 and Warhammer 40K, Dawn
Wait,
of War
say,
2, Chaos
what's getting? Sorry, what's getting Assassin's Creed 2?
PC.
Oh, I thought you said PS3. I was like, what? Again?
Did I hope not.
I don't know. You might have said PC. I could just be tired.
PC is getting Assassin's Creed 2 and Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising. It's not often you see a title of a game that has two colons in it. So, pick of the week.
Travis is obvious.
Duh. It's paid for. Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, mine's paid for too. Final Fantasy 13. There's other games on that list I'm interested in, but that's the one I'm buying for sure.
Mark?
I'm going with Yakuza 3.
Nice.
Okay. Gotta support Sega.
I do, even if they fucked it up.
I'm also going to go with Final Fantasy 13. Just because I need to play more of the demo of Yakuza 3 to make sure I like it. So
yeah.
Cool. That's rough. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to give the show back to Mr. Travis so he can do some emails.
All right. And again, the emails that were just fixated only on the Matrix Kung Fu thing. Again, guys, go to the thread, check it out there, add to the conversation because we're still talking about it. And and that's the reason I skipped. If I was still fighting it, I would have read these emails and tried to fight back. But you know, I can see
he has conceded defeat.
Yeah, I can see. You know,
Jack Bauer had your back, and he had some links up there, but they can check him out on the.
Forum. Check them out. Jack Bauer had some interesting links. It was really cool. But going on, and we wanted to start off with an email from our buddy Navishin again. We actually missed this email, or I missed this email last week, and I wanted to make sure we got back to him again. He starts off, like always, by saying, "What up, Indude? It's me, Navishin. I hope you guys enjoyed the little gift I gave." Well, in Chris's case, a huge gift. Anyway, I just want
you
guys...
We'll get to that in a minute.
I just want you guys to answer these series of questions. Number one, which game do you think will have the best first week sales, Heavy Rain or Alan Wake? Heavy Rain was released when there wasn't any other games to get, whereas Alan Wake is releasing the same day as Lost Planet 2.
No other game is being released.
Right.
Hey, Lost Planet 2 is going to be good.
I'm actually very interested in it, so... I'm just kidding.
Let's answer the questions as the questions go by because they're all actually kind of long. Heavy Rain or Alan Wake? For me, at first, I would have said Alan Wake just because there are more 360 consoles out there. The install base is bigger, but supposedly Heavy Rain is selling well. I mean, Sony came out and said they like the way it's selling so far. But of course, that could just be spin.
Supposedly been selling out too.
Like, yeah, it's sold out at the GameStop near my place.
It was sold out at Walmart.
But then again, they only
got
6 copies. But
well, yeah,
it'll be interesting when the MPDs come out, and also seeing that it only come out in like the tail end of the month as well. So you're not going to get like a true full month as well. But yeah. I still stick with Alan Wake because yeah, I agree. I think
Microsoft's going to market the hell out of it.
Yeah,
that's my thought too.
And the way the previews are coming in now, my total attitude towards this game has done a 180. I don't give a shit, I don't care, it's going to be garbage, to this game might actually be really good.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks really, really cool.
And if they market it, then you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like look at last year. When we were talking about like game of the year stuff, and we were really struggling to figure out exclusives for 360 to put on the exclusives list. This is a situation where an exclusive is coming out for Microsoft and they are not going to let it go unmarketed. So yeah. It's going to be ridiculously hyped up, I think. And, I have pretty much no doubt that it will.
First week sales, yeah. Maybe not in total sales over time, because I know Heavy Rain's getting some good buzz, so maybe over time that might do better. But first week, I think Alan Wake is probably.
I don't know. I'm torn, because why haven't they marketed Alan Wake yet? Like, Heavy Rain's been hyped for a long time.
It's been hyped to the hardcore people, not to the casual crowd.
Yeah, normal Microsoft type commercials on TV and shit.
Yeah. I've never seen a Heavy Rain commercial. I don't know. Maybe it's just not on Canada, but
I don't watch TV anymore, so I can't talk about commercials.
Lost. Don't
that,
you watch?
That's
Lost?
Literally the only show
the
we,
only
lo- we watch.
Well, it was reported that Heavy Rain sold 500,000 in its first week. So
really,
pretty damn high.
It is pretty high. You're absolutely right. So we'll see what happens with Alan Wake.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Move on to the next question, guys. Number two, which game do you think will have the best sales by the end of the year? God of War 3 or Halo Reach? God of War will be released way before Halo is, but do you think that God of War will be on top by having 10 months of sales, whereas Halo will probably be only 2 months?
I gotta say,
that's
Halo.
Tough.
On this one.
Yeah, it depends.
Halo. It's marketing again. I think it's going to all be about marketing, and the fact that Halo is a huge franchise for Microsoft in general. And it's like I would bet that there are more people out there that bought a 360 for a Halo 3 than any other game out there for any other system. So
I'd agree with that too.
I have no doubt that you know, God of War will sell well, but not as good.
You're making me pick between my two babies.
It's tough. And I don't even like Halo. I love God of War, you know, and I still think that,
The God of War games, though, have had a good slow burn as well, though. They usually sell, like, really, really well in the first month, and then they sell consistently all year. I just don't know.
Would you say they have legs, Jeff?
Yeah, they have legs. The God of War games definitely have legs, whereas so do the Halo games so much, but the Halo games just sell a shit ton in the first month or two of release. So I don't know if... I think it'll be close. I think it'll be really close.
Don't cop out, man. Give us one.
Oh, Jesus. 10 months versus... You know what? I'm going to have to go with Halo Reach. And the only reason is because, I mean, Uncharted 2 was hyped through the roof, and it was a really good game. It sold consoles. And that, to this day, I don't think has sold as much as Halo 3, not Halo 3, but ODST has. So I think Reach will probably edge it out.
Wow, Jeff. Why do you hate God of War?
Exactly. I'm waiting for that. Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Someone will say it.
Number three. When will Jeff make his G-off He-Man-like battle cry? Come on. I requested it over a month ago.
He did?
And of course, it was the buy the power of Kratos. That's right. I have the power. Yes. make it a birthday present for me. But can't really do it on the audio podcast. Maybe we should like. Wait for
I could do it. Just now that he said to do it this show, I can't because it won't be a surprise.
Exactly. Maybe. Oh, no.
I'll do it. Nevision, don't worry. I will definitely do it. But I'm going to keep you on your toes.
Cool deal. Well, he says, anyway, keep it easy, guys. You're a loyal fan, Nabishin186. P.S., did any of you guys see the game trailer's interview for Crackdown 2 at X10? The developer said it was a superhero game. Just saying.
Jeff, we're right.
Of course. It's not even up for debate anymore.
Maybe we'll get back to that later on. Maybe.
All right. Before we move on. I just want to just give some props to Nabishin here for a minute. Okay. So Nabishin, many that are on VG Evo know about the little contest that he put out there for me and Mark and Scott and Justin on 360 Nation and the Goo, to play Valkyria Chronicles. I basically started playing the game while they were at, a huge party. The three of them were all at this party. So I got pretty much an unfair head start and ended up beating the game,
And then you called in sick on the Monday.
I did call in sick on the day.
you forgot to leave.
For the record, I really wasn't feeling that great, but yeah, it was mainly because of Valkyria Chronicles. But, so I ended up beating the game and winning this contest and, he came through in spades on what he said and we all felt bad about it at that time. And he's like, no, whatever you guys want to do, this is what I said, and so this is what we're going to do. Well, we kind of backed off a little bit to an extent where, like Travis, cause the deal was that all four of us, me and Travis and Jeff and Jason, we're all going to get a game up to $60. And since I played Valkyria Chronicles and beat it, I would get it up to $80. Well, the deal was that, we instead decided let's make it so that, like, say the Goo won. Well, then it's just Adam and Scott, right? So the three of them all got $20 gift cards to Amazon. So just kind of to be nice to Nabishin's pocket. then he asked me what game I wanted.
More kudos to Nabishin, though. Like, we actually said he didn't need to do that, and he insisted because, you can't make a statement like that and not follow through. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, so he
like,
did follow through, very much so. And then when it came down to what I got, I mean, he said that, he's like, well, what game do you want? And I was like, I can't even think of anything that I'm really interested that's coming out in the next few months besides something like, I mentioned Lunar, I mentioned a Resonance of Fate, and I mentioned God of War. And then I said, but God of War, I plan on getting the Ultimate Edition. wouldn't you know the fucker got me the Ultimate Edition of
Oh, no.
War. Are you serious?
Yes, and wow. I said, well, let me at least make up the difference for you. Because, I mean, you said $80, and I don't want you to have to go over that. And he says, no, don't worry about it. Go to EB or something, find a copy of No More Heroes, give it away on the show. So that's exactly what I did. So cool. We now have a copy of No More Heroes, the first game, to give away on the show. So we're going to chat about how we're going to do that. And you guys can expect a contest of some sort for that, coming soon. So,
yeah.
Huge props to Navishin. Dude, you are something else. You easily one of the most loyal listeners we've ever had. And, really, really awesome. Means a lot to us. It really does.
Cheers, buddy. Good stuff. All right.
Okay, I'm done. You can continue now.
Cool deal. No, moving on. One of my SOCOM Saturday buddies, Zhang Warriors, he says, hello in this chaps. It's Zhang here. This letter is mainly addressed to Mr. Canada, a.k.a. G-Off. Yeah, I'm a little drunk, but it's all good.
Oh, God.
Any hoot nanny, I'm wondering if G-Off got to see that Game Trailers TV exclusive of God of War 3.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It was badass. Man, I felt kind of burned only having a PS3, not having Mass Effect and Left 4 Dead 2, but it's all good. I don't want to be a fanboy, but man, that God of War stuff has made it all worth it. Hi,
it does look good.
And he says, high five, Travish.
Travish.
Yeah. I was a little worried about you taking Mr. Street Fighter's spot on the show. Big shoes to fill, but man, y'all are all right. Been to SOCOM Saturdays lately? No, I haven't, buddy. Sorry. Okay, back to my main topic. You guys planning on having a God of War spoiler show? That would rock. I'm already gotten me my collector's edition paid out and waiting till it gets released and would love a spoiler show. Thanks for listening and keep on trucking Zhaoj Warriors.
He spelled his name wrong. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's fucking rad.
Oh, man. Jeff, how excited are we for God of War 3, man?
Dude, it's like off the chart right about now.
When I saw that game trailer's footage, I mean, I was watching it. I didn't even actually get to watch it. Like, I don't have like HD
I didn't watch
Spike
it on TV,
like
no.
That.
Yeah.
But oh man, just even seeing it on a standard def feed, I was just like in awe at how much crap was going on. Just the scale of it and everything was just incredible. And man.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm in love.
And it goes without saying, good. In terms of a spoiler show, I'd definitely be up for that. So, I mean, but it's hard to like do a spoiler show about something like that kind of game.
Yeah,
because
it's so linear. Yeah. And, but, you know, most of our spoiler shows have been about games that have like branching themes. But we did do one on Metal Gear, so it's very possible that we might go back and
true.
Do one for God of War.
And we are doing a video review of it too, so we'll have that out. There. So we'll do what we can. Trust me, there's going to be a lot of God of War 3 talking.
We're at least going to do a God of War feature. I know.
Yeah,
I can
for
tell
sure.
you that.
Yeah.
And in terms of like spoiler shows, we did kind of talk a little bit today about the possibility of maybe taking a few minutes, like after the show is done.
Yeah.
Hey, it's spoiler time. Maybe we can chat maybe 10, 15 minutes about some story things if you just want to hear us talk about it. So guys, if you actually want us to do something like that, let us know. Send us some comments. Say, hey, we would love for you guys to maybe talk about some games that, you know, after a couple of weeks, we've all played it. Let's talk about the story. We'd be totally down for doing that if you guys want it, absolutely, but, you know.
Yeah, because
let us know.
Like, we, all four of us, don't play the game. Like, it's pretty rare that we're all playing the same game at the same time. So,
right.
Like, for instance, Bioshock 2. Like, Travis and I are planning to do something like that at the end of one of the episodes coming up to do a little little spoiler, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the game. So, see how it works out.
Yeah. Cool deal.
Cool.
All right. Moving on next, Jeff's best friend, Necro. He says, okay, well, last week, Travis sounded the horn, and I'll back him up. He talks about the Matrix again.
Oh, I thought you were skipping these.
Even though he's backing
me
up.
He's got to read the one that's backing
him
up. The one. The one that's backing him up.
Also, remind you, this is the same person who thinks Dante's Inferno is better than God of War. Just saying.
He doesn't just talk about.
Sorry, what
Matrix,
was that, Mark?
Though.
I said,
Yeah, I know. I just want you to do it again.
We just wanted to reiterate that fact right there.
Mr. Major does still talk about something else game-related. He says, while we're talking about genre benders, would you consider Mass Effect 2 an RPG?
Because I sure as hell do. I just think that the evolution of what RPGs have become, but you wouldn't know that because looking at the gameplay, it looks more like fucking Gears of War in space. So, I mean, do you consider
it looks like Fallout in third person view without cover. I know where he's going with this. That's why I refuse to agree with him.
and that's why I start off.
I stick with what Travis said a while back. There are very few games, especially on a console.
Chris, before you continue, he's trying to lure you in to say whether or not that it is an RPG, and then he's going to turn around and say that means The Matrix is a martial arts movie. That's where he's going with this.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what, Jeff. Like you know your buddy Necro very well because literally the next thing is so yes, Matrix is a fucking kung fu movie, fucking lawyered.
Yeah. Read you like okay. A book, Necro.
Next.
Oh man.
And plus, I saw it when you posted on GLF.
You guys are joined by the hip. You don't even know it. Hey, this is Massive Axe 3, formerly Burning Mirror, writing from Bloomington, Indiana, with a question for you guys. With DLC and microtransactions being a common trend for developers to get more money from consumers, do you believe that the industry as a whole is becoming a tad bit greedy? While I don't think that all developers are taking this direction, I feel that in some situations developers are purposely leaving content out of games so that they can later release it as DLC. I feel that some companies, Activision, are exploiting the success of certain franchises just to line their pockets with money. What are your thoughts on this? Great show. My favorite podcast by far, Massive Axe 3.
Wow. Really?
Thank you, Massive Axe.
You must have low standards. Sorry.
Well, we did a feature on that pretty much specifically back in the day.
Yeah, we did. It's worth a little brush over though. I mean, I would say
especially now with the whole Call of Duty thing too with Activision too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of
even more than that. I would say it goes as far as to say is with the whole debacle of Lost Planet 2 and how they were crying because they had to cut content and they're going to release it as DLC later. It's like fuck you, put it on another disc
or put it out there for free. They said they might bring it out as DLC like. They know they're going to charge for it.
Yeah.
If
this at first was supposed to be a part of your game, give it to us for free.
Exactly. Yeah. If they put it out there for free, props to them. I understand they're trying to save money because, you know, Microsoft charges extra if you have more discs.
For extra stuff, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, if it gets down to that and they release this DLC and it's for free, I'm cool with that. However, mm-hmm. if you start charging me, then you're just as bad as, well, maybe not just as bad as Activision, but you're kind of learning from them, and that's bad.
To this day, I don't think no company has shown, in terms of DLC, has shown as much sack as Criterion at all.
Yeah.
No one has.
No way.
No one hold a candle at all.
I agree.
And at first, I was thinking maybe EA and BioWare with Mass Effect, but then I caught myself. I'm like, no, because the Cerberus Network, they use that as that carrot.
That's more like a DRM kind of thing.
Exactly. They use that as that carrot to try to get us to buy the game new instead of used, and then people who get it used still have to buy the Cerberus Network for $15 to get those features. So,
yeah,
I still don't count that. But so yeah, I mean, and.
I think they totally are taking advantage of it for the most part. And it works at both, like, I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 had that DLC, but that could have easily been in place in the game in chronological order of how you play the game.
I was kind of annoyed by that. I was like, oh, look, there's actually sequences missing from the game. What the fuck? You know, I was like, oh, great, so they can milk money out of me later?
Time constraints. No. Yeah, it doesn't bother me, but I mean, it's working. That's the thing. It's no matter, they're definitely taking advantage of it, but in the end, it is a business, and as long as people keep buying something, they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
Mark, you have anything to add?
No, I don't think so.
Besides a big yawn.
Yawn.
My God, how many emails do you guys have? Hurry up.
Man,
it's past my bedtime.
mentioning Mass Effect, who is this? Oh yeah, Pup Crazy. He says, "What's up, Endis? First, the show is great. Missing Jason, but Travis has been an excellent addition. Thanks, buddy. I have a question on Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2. How important is it to play the first one before the second? I've owned a PS3 for a couple of years, but just picked up a 360 a few months ago, and I'm a bit behind on the curve. Everyone has told me that Mass Effect is a must-play title. I don't get a lot of gaming time, and for what I've heard, Mass Effect can get a little tedious. I'm sure it's awesome, but I usually get bored with games when I have to manage every single detail. Ooh. For example, I really enjoyed Fallout 3, but the grind got to me and I haven't gotten back to it yet. I hear that they really streamlined Mass Effect 2, so that might be a better fit. At the same time, I don't want to lose out on anything that might lessen the experience in the sequel. Any thoughts or advice? Keep up the great work. Doug."
Didn't Jason kind of mention this over the weekend?
I think so.
Yeah, well, we did our spoiler show over the weekend, and Jason mentioned that he started a game without importing a character.
Yeah.
And it basically, during the very beginning of the story, when you're kind of learning how everything works and all that, all the major decisions that carry over, they ask you about. And
yeah,
and you answer questions. And actually, even if you import a character, if you answer the question differently from the character that you imported, it'll change it on the fly. So really all you would be missing is all these little...
Now, what do you mean a change on the fly? If you import a character? Because I know...
If you import a character and you say, "I did this," and then when they ask you about it, you say, "I did that," the game will reference that you did that instead.
No, they actually tell you you were wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you were on this planet in Vermeer, this happened, what did you do? And if you don't answer the way you did it in your save game, they actually know this is what actually happened, is something wrong with your memory, basically.
Oh, huh,
that's okay. Cool.
So it actually, no matter what you do, it keeps what you have in your first play.
Oh, cool. Okay, good. Because that's actually one of the things that we said on the spoiler show, so I guess we were wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I must not have been paying attention at that point, or it was when I left.
besides that, the only thing that I think you would miss out on is, like, just little things here and there. Well, they will drop in, like, this character that you may have done a little side mission with or something like that. So overall, if you think that it's going to get tedious for you, I say go straight to 2 and you should be fine. But that's just my thought.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary to play 1 before 2, but it definitely adds to the experience.
It does add to the experience.
Yeah, when you're getting emails from people, you'll look at it and be like an email from – it'll just be like kind of like backstory. Whereas if you play the first one, you'll be like, "Oh, I remember that character. I did do that. Yeah, that was cool." But yeah, it's not necessary, but just adds to it. But definitely do not play 2, then play 1.
Right.
Because it's such a big step up from 1 to 2 that, yeah, you'll just be like, "What?"
Did you guys play 1 on 360 or PC?
I played it on 360, which is probably why 360. I saw the big jump. But
yeah.
I heard it looks a lot better on PC.
Yeah, the PC one, like, I just played through it before 2 came out, and it plays... I mean, I've heard the problems with the 360 one. I've never played it before.
Mm-hmm.
But the PC one played pretty well, but I think it's a great game to play, but given what he said, I would say definitely skip to 2.
Yeah.
And just, like,
dude,
read a Wikipedia.
Nothing to manage in 2.
Yeah, like, read a Wikipedia on the story from 1. Just to get up to speed with it.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Next email comes from Zeke, which is about 80% more Matrix, but in the end, he asked if we could do him a favor. Can you call up PS Nation and ask where to start digging? Because the Crackdown conversation should be buried next to Chuck's mom. Maybe they can have a love child that could hang out in the amplified rape basement.
What? Did Terry change the name of his basement?
That's awesome.
Seriously.
Thank you very much for that.
Three most overused jokes ever.
Dave L. sends in and asks a really quick question. Do you guys think that Clash of the Titans, which he also sent us a trailer for, do you think Clash of the Titans picked the release date that would ride the coattails of God of War 3? Seeing that I believe it comes out the Friday after God of War releases.
No, I don't think that had anything to do with it.
No. Yeah, personally. I don't think the movie companies follow the game industry that tight. Yeah, but
I don't
know.
Think it follows that tightly. I think it's just coincidence more than anything.
Right. I think it's probably fiscal year, because fiscal year...
That's like, true, too.
Oh, that's true. It's fiscal year ends
and like beginning of April.
So. Yeah. Good point, good point.
Cool deal. Cool deal. All right. Friend of the show, B Wrong, says, hey, 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 just want to say that every entry I sent to every contest that you have is an epic fail. It's either I'm late or my entries aren't really that appropriate. Jeez, but
okay. Can I just want to. I just want to explain something really quick. B-Wrong actually sent us three entries for the God of War ESRB contest, but he didn't actually do the description portion of it. And I sent him a PM and asked him to choose one and elaborate. And I don't think I just didn't hear from him in time. So that's why his entry was never really talked about. But hang in there, dude. We're going to be, you know, this is something that we plan on doing every month now. We're going to do these $20 Amazon gift card giveaways. And, you know, we've got, seriously, I mean, I think we have like two or three games besides that, that we have to give away in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, pay attention and do the best
you
can.
Keep submitting.
Keep submitting.
Yeah, please. On to his questions, as per usual. Number one, the lamest character in gaming.
Ooh, I think I have one for this.
Oh, that's tough.
It's not for me. Do you guys remember Enchanted Arms, that RPG that first came out on 360? Yeah. Remember the gay guy? Lame.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the first person I thought of, but then I was like, that was funny, because he was so over the top.
He was lame. Oh, man, that made me stop. It was like I wasn't even a half an hour into that game and said, I'm done with this shit.
Who's the lame-ass soldier in Gears of War that always gets killed?
Oh, Carmine?
Carmine?
Yeah.
He's fucking lame.
Does he wear a red shirt, by chance?
No.
Might as well.
Oh, dude, lame? Fuck. Besides, like, Dan?
Dan's dude, awesome. Shut up. Totally hey, he's so cool. I was totally thinking Dan.
Bite your tongue, both of you. Dan is awesome.
Well, he's lame, but he's fucking... awesome.
Like, yeah, he's a lame character. He's just like...
Yeah.
Mark, do you have one?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn between either Kratos or the entire cast of White Knight Chronicles.
Okay, you know what? Travis, when you're editing this, can you just delete his voice track?
Okay, I got a serious one. Waluigi.
Oh, no kidding! Oh, dude, awesome! Yeah. Ridiculous!
Yeah. Because at least Wario, they kind of gave his own personality, even though he was just Mario with an upside-down M. But Waluigi was just fucking stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Him and Big the Cat from Sonic were dumb.
Yeah.
Well, all the
Sonic secondary characters
but outside of, like, Tails were dumb.
Yeah, no, Knuckles was still cool, because he made it in before, like, the shitty friend parade.
That's true.
Yeah. That's quite a few.
Do you have any more guys?
Cloud Strife.
Totally I can hear
kidding.
The hate mail being typed right
totally
now.
Kidding. Totally kidding.
Good. Now it's Jeff's turn.
What? What'd I do?
The hate mail. No, to take the verbal beating that I've been taking the last couple of weeks. Good lord. Okay, number two, games that you wish you had never sold or traded in. I know Jeff's.
You know mine?
I know yours, I think.
It's Panzer.
Oh, Panzer Dragoon Saga. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's definitely true.
I don't trade anything in, so I don't have an answer for this question.
I didn't even trade it in. I gave it away.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's friggin' terrible.
I would have to say, not necessarily a game, but I succinctly remember the day I gave away my Super Nintendo and all my games.
Yeah.
Before Ouch. I decided that, you know, I just never thought it would have came back and bit me in the ass that, man, I really would have loved to collect these games and play them. I would have loved to, so. God,
Mark,
I hate myself.
Do you even trade? I don't think Mark, you don't trade anything in, do you?
Actually, I trade in a lot of stuff. I'm notorious for, like, selling and rebuying collections. I'm on my, like, third Sega Genesis collection now. Yeah, mine's kind of the same. Like, I sold off a lot of my classic gaming things, ironically, right before I met all of, like, what became VG Evo and all that stuff at MGC, or, like, right before MGC. because I had decided, you know, I'm just going to get rid of a lot of this old stuff. I don't really feel like having it around anymore. And at that point, like, I didn't really go to gaming forums or anything.
Yeah.
So it was there for me. Like, I had no outlet for it, nowhere to really show it off or anything like that. So I'm like, you know, some of these things are worth a lot. I'm just going to sell them, like Panzer Dragoon Saga and Shining Force 3. Because I played them to death. I was done with them. And now I regret it from a collector's standpoint. But, I mean, it's regret. I care, but I don't care that much. Like, I would love to be like, hey, I got these awesome rare Saturn games, but it doesn't really bother me that much that I don't.
I hear that. Cool.
Cool deal. Mm-hmm. And B-Rong's last question, more of a comment, and it was, he says, this goes out to Travis specifically, was the Sonic restaurant featured in this week's Mega 64? Did you guys see that video from Mega 64? Yeah. That was really, really funny. and I'm just glad they were more or less dissing on, I don't know, I can't tell whether or not they were dissing on Sonic the Hedgehog or my restaurant more than, you know, one or the other. Jeff, have you or Chris have seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
Okay, check it out. It is really, really funny. Basically what it is, the Mega 64 guys, they're sitting at Sonic, they're on the patio, and they're eating Sonic food, and they're sitting there, and they're saying, guys, you know, whenever we don't have Sonic, we want Sonic, and whenever we're here and we have Sonic, it's just more of the same. We just don't enjoy it. Why do we keep on coming back and torturing ourselves with more and more Sonic? And they're like, you know, you just do the same thing. You just come here and you're just sitting here and
to see the video, or are you just going to reenact the whole thing?
Okay, fine. Watch the video.
Dick!
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
We had a email, but since we're running a little long in the emails, I am going to skip this one. It's from Michael Ford, and it is in defense of me and Jason for Crackdown. And I'm going to tell you what, he makes some pretty serious claims. And what I'm going to do, since we're not reading it on the show because it is a lengthy email, I'm going to make a post about it on the Interactive Distractions forums on VGEvo.com. And I think it needs to be read because he makes some very, very good points. So, Mike, I will hook you up and have you kind of, you know, I'll give you a thread about it. But last but not least, sent in at the 0 hour, our buddy Confidence Man 2 came through and gave us even more Indus stats. I am excited. I want to explain why IndieStats took longer to create this time around, he says. I've been busy with school and gaming, and such has taken a back seat. There's another reason, and I'll let you figure that out after the stats. And this is from Indus episodes 109 to 112, which also includes our Game of the Year episode.
All right, 112 was Game of the Year, right? Something like that?
Yeah. Okay. Number of times Chris mentions Phantasy Star Castlevania 9. Number of times Jeff mentions either God of War or Halo 11. Number of times Travis mentions a Call of Duty or Madden 12. Number of emails read on the show 37.
Wow.
Number of voicemails played on the show 9. Number of random questions asked by Aces High 3. The number of times Travis says y'all, 5. The number of times Chris says nice,
no.
9.
Oh, that's not,
that's not that bad.
The number of times anyone mentions Moosenet, maple leaf syrup, or anything that makes reference to Jeff being Canadian, 2.
Oh, wow.
That's
it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Travis, we need to do better with that.
I know, we need to do better. That's right, Mountie bastard. The number of times Bayonetta...
Yeah, your mom knows about me being a Mountie.
Ooh.
Oh.
Dick. The number of times Bayonetta has been mentioned, 19.
Wow.
Well, that was the Game of the Year show, too. So. Oh, no, that's true. That was the next year after. Never mind. That'll be more or less for this next one.
Named it a lot, though, that show. I remember that being like, too bad Bayonetta didn't come out in December.
That's true.
This one especially, the number of times Demon's Souls has been mentioned. 35.
Holy crap.
Holy crap, wow. Dude.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot. A number of times Demon's Souls difficulty has been mentioned. 16. The number of times the F word was used on episodes 109 to 111.
Oh, no.
21.
So he's leaving out episode 112.
He's leaving out. He's going to do it separately, God. Isn't he?
The number of times the F word has been used on 112, the Game of the Year episode, 129.
What? Oh,
holy crap.
Wow.
He says that that is right, not a typo, 129.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Yes.
And I've been like 97 also, of those is Jason.
Yeah. And also that coined the fuck you. That's where it all started. Memorable quotes. I love the design of your stick. That was Chris. Somebody's rubbing on it, blowing on it. That is my stick right there. Jeff. I was talking about Gutex. Why do you hate fun, Jeff? Jason. So yeah, counting all those F-bombs took a considerable amount of time to do. Lesson, Jason, alcohol and Street Fighter IV's nomination status for Game of the Year does not mix. Confidence Man 2. sent from my iPad XL, also known as the tablet PC. And that will finish our emails.
Wow.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Confidence.
And I cut like 3 or 4 of them and didn't read any Matrix stuff, so...
They can hit the thread up for that one.
Yeah, right. Hit the thread. Do it.
All right. Well, I do have a couple random questions real quick, so let's get through those.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Ice is out here. I have 2 questions this week. The first one is lighter dark liquor, and the second one is which of the awesome powers did you like the best?
Hmm.
That's easy for me, I think. I'd rather prefer drinking dark liquor, but
me too.
I don't like the drunk I get off it. So I usually stick to clear stuff. And then Us Powers, the second one, was my favorite one.
Yeah, me too.
I am going to agree on both counts. I choose the second one because Heather Graham is hot.
Mark?
Normally I would say dark liquor, Sailor Jerry for life.
Mm-hmm. Woo.
But since I'm on a diet and it's low carb, we've just been drinking Bacardi, so I'll have to go with clear.
Nice.
And awesome powers, I guess the second one, just because it introduced Mini-Me, but I'd rather say none of the above.
Cool. All right. Deal.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Aces.
All right, cool. Let's do question of the week and then get the fuck out of here.
All right.
With the release of 2 RPGs in the next 2 weeks, those being Final Fantasy 13 and Resonance of Fate, what actually makes an RPG an RPG? So there's been a lot of talk about, Necro kind of mentioned it too, whether or not Mass Effect 2 is actually an RPG. So we want to hear what you guys think about what actually makes one of those games an RPG. To answer the question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
You can also follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Jason, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-O-F-F.
And Savory K.
What's up?
Savory K. Yeah.
We also have a Facebook group, and that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. Hey, Mark.
What?
Thanks for joining us, man. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Thanks for having me. You can find me at psnation.org. The weekly show I do with Mr. Glenn Percival, aka Torgo, our weekly chat about all things PlayStation and more, including the Wii.
And ease.
Cool. Well, thank you.
And
seriously,
ease.
Thank you
I haven't
for joining
talked
us.
To ease in a while. Yeah, thanks
I
for having
you,
me.
I hope you were able to tolerate the long email section because we seem to have really gotten a lot of emails this week. But yeah,
I'm okay. Just
definitely
sleeping.
Check out Mark and Glenn at PS Nation if you don't already. So besides that, you guys have anything before we wrap up and get the hell out of here?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
I think I'm good, except for keep an eye out for the Expleted Deleted podcast thing. Spoiler episode for Darksiders. I'm not sure when Glenn's planning on releasing it, so I don't know if that'll even be out before our next show. I don't really know.
Yeah, and I'm still in the middle of editing, actually, the Mass Effect one, so hopefully that'll be out. It will have come out over the weekend.
And actually, I'm retarded. We're recording the second half on Monday, so it's not going to be out.
Yeah, it won't be out by now.
I need sleep.
All right, well, in that case, we're going to get the hell out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. And Zune, too, because we're on the Marketplace now. That is just about it. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
And he's Mark.
Hi.
Over there. That's Mark.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Play the Wii.
Later.
Play with your Wii, and we'll see you next week.